Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Today's Sunday session is brought to you thanks to the fine folks at More Beer. Visit them right now at morebeer.com.
I poured it in my mouth and it just wasn't going down.
My first beer was an IPA, the best IPA I've ever drank, mostly because I brewed it.
If you have a scale that is good for measuring cocaine, you're probably good for measuring hops.
You're scaring me.
I think the information is awesome and the audio sucks.
Make some sugary water, throw some yeast in there,
and you're going to drink good beer.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
It's fine.
God damn it, man. Oh, my God.
Live from the Brewing Network Studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Well, hello, and a good day to you. Welcome to the program. My name is Justin Crosley. I'm your host. This is The Session, live from the Hop Grenade.
Thank you very much.
With me today is Jason J.P. Petros.
Hello.
Maybe, if I can get his microphone to work.
Hello.
I fixed it, and now it's unfixed.
Yeah, I'm unfixable right now.
Man, oh man.
No, right? Welcome to the universe. I am your overlord.
I don't know, man. Oh.
Yeah.
It kind of works.
That's that sweet spot, baby. Right there.
There's a gremlin in your mic, because I've fixed it 4 times. And yeah. and then you test it, and it works,
right.
And then you go live.
Well, one would venture to guess that maybe you're not fixing it.
You'd venture that, but there's no way to tell I'm not fixing
right,
it.
Right, exactly.
That's
totally.
The problem.
There's a connection there that maybe you need to rub against my connections.
I think it's
and
the whole
get all
board, because I've checked your connections. I think it's your channel. But whatever.
Yeah.
Luckily, I ordered a whole new board because I thought this thing blew up a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then discovered it was just the power supply.
Right.
Right? Which is cool because I'm like, all right, I can send back a $2,000 board.
Yeah.
But then now this is happening and I still have the board.
You haven't sent it back yet?
Well, they won't let me. I keep trying. They're like, yeah, we're going to send you the return information.
Smart.
They are smart because I think they're going to be like, well, now you're past the return. And I'm going to be like, no, fuck you.
They know about the warranty on this thing. They know how long it'll last and be like, oh, he has another couple of weeks and then it'll totally crash and he'll have to keep it. It's a whole plan. I'm convinced. Electronic companies are smart.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right, let me try this now.
All right, good.
Try now.
Yes, hello. Yes, I'm back.
We're going to try you there.
All right.
Worst case, we might have to move you to...
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
just
I know.
Give me the
gonna,
night off.
It's going to throw you off. You're going to be in a whole new spot.
And it'll be weird, man.
You won't know what to do.
Yeah. I'll still suck.
Well, despite some audio issues, we do have a great show planned for you tonight. First of all, I'd like to thank our wonderful sponsor, More Beer. You can go over to morebeer.com right now and check them out. And they have everything you need for beer and coffee and wine and... I think even other things. Like,
you can make drugs, I think.
Yeah, they like there must be branching out to everything by now. you get everything you need over there. So thanks to them for always supporting the Brewing Network. And let them know you appreciate it. Next time you do an order in the comments field, just say thanks for supporting the BN. And believe it or not, that really goes a long way with all of our sponsors, and especially More Beer. They always just appreciate hearing that. They're very customer service oriented, and they send that stuff to me all the time. They're always so happy. Still, after all these years, they're so happy to get messages about thanking them for supporting the BN. It just lets them know that we're like their favorite little redheaded stepchild, and right. It still works. And they really do get excited about that. So let them know that you're thankful. Also on tonight's program, Pelican Brewing Company is on the show from Oregon. I've been to Pelican a couple times. What? It is probably the best real estate in craft beer. Yeah. I mean, it is quite literally, and I'm not using literally at the way the millennials use it.
Right, right.
I mean, it's literally on the beach. Yeah,
on
they
the
have to, like, sweep off the deck of sand.
Oh,
it's so, like, on the beach. Like,
wow.
The right side of it, you just walk right past, you surf, and the beach is there, and I mean, it's as close to the water as you get without drowning.
Right.
It was probably 10 years ago when I was there and stayed in the RV park right across the street from it.
Oh, nice.
And, it's right on the beach. I mean,
yeah.
And it's a beach. It's not like a jagged shoreline. It's a nice one.
It's not a rock beach. There's like sand.
It's really nice.
Yeah,
it's
good.
It's full on.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm excited to have them on the program. Not only the great real estate, but really good beer. And they've been at this since 1996. So they were doing the craft beer thing before most of us were doing it. And it's just kind of, I always get excited when we get to talk to people who have been doing this well.
We blame them or give them credit? Which do we do?
I don't know.
I mean, they kind of slowed us down at the beginning, didn't they?
They did.
They could have been a little faster. We'd have better beer a long time ago.
That's true. Yeah. But they were some of the only ones doing it. Well, and check this out. The brewmaster we're going to talk to tonight is the original brewmaster.
Yeah, he's a 20-year veteran.
He opened the place in 96.
Well, I guess if you have a rad location like that, where are you going to go?
Right.
You know what I mean? Where are you going to upgrade to?
Seriously, I do want to ask where he lives in relation to the brewery. Because if he's a bike ride away from the beach brewery,
It doesn't get better. You're going to move to some light industrial park? No. Come on.
No, you're going to stay right there.
Any place you stay 20 years at.
It is a perk.
right? Yeah. All right, so we're going to talk to the guys from Pelican tonight. It's going to be Darren Welch, who's the brewmaster and one of the owners as well. And then Ryan Lischka is going to be in studio with us. He's the sales manager, so we can talk about where you can get the beer and what they're doing. We actually have their beer on tap here at the Hop Grenade. And we'll learn more about this, but if I'm not mistaken, and you used to only get Pelican, first of all, just at the brew pub, and then probably later only in Oregon. And I think now they're branching out a little bit. So you can come down to the Hop Grenade and try the beer if you're local. And we'll be trying some of the beer tonight, too. All right, a few things to let you know about. Drake's, speaking of people who have been in the business for a while, Drake's Brewing Company, as you know, one of my favorites here locally. In fact, I was thinking the other day, I went to buy beer.
Nah.
And grabbed a six-pack of 1500 like I always do. And I'm trying to remember the last time I went to buy six-packs of beer that I didn't buy a six-pack at Drake. Now, I bought other ones, too. Don't get me wrong. But it's like either their 1500 or their IPA is pretty much always in my fridge. It just always is. It's always fresh and good, and you just can't go wrong with it.
Yeah.
And you guys, you know that I still do that with Firestone too. I almost always grab the Pale 31, but I can get the Pale 31 at work now so often. I always get the
51. It's a great beer. Easy drinking. Yeah.
Well, they've been around for 27 years now, and they're doing their anniversary party on August 26th,
yes.
As a matter of fact. Some of you, I hope, will be going here in the studio.
I'll be going.
Good. I sent out an email to you today because they invited us to go.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It's going to be a big party down there at the brewery, and I think you all should go. So go check it out. You can go to drinkdrakes.com, and you'll find all the information on the website. It's a good party to go to. I think they're going to have some other beers there, too. It's not just a Drake's
beer. Yeah, music and kind of a beer fest kind of format.
Yeah. They put on good events down there at the brewery. So go check it out. All right. Quick announcements today. Amazon shopping, as hopefully you already know, you can do that through our website, both in the United States and in the UK. Just click the Amazon link on our homepage. It's a great way to support the BN without shelling out any additional money. A lot of you do that, and we appreciate it very much. I'm just letting the rest of you know. You can save it as a bookmark, and then just always go log into your Amazon that way, and we always get a little cut out of that. So you're not giving all the money away to the man, giving it away to the boy child, the boy
Jeff
children, or
Bezos.
Whatever they are.
Google gets another one.
Yeah, that guy gets $80 billion. He doesn't need any more.
Yeah,
that's
Gibson
right. does.
All right. Also, you can support us by subscribing and joining the BN Army. Recurring donors are automatically entered into the More Beer Monthly Donation Giveaway, which is a chance to win $100 to spend at More Beer. And we do that drawing every single month. We've been doing it for years. You can sign up for as little as $2. But the more you sign up for, the more entries go into the hat for you. Kate the Great runs that raffle for us every month. She does a good job making sure that everybody gets treated fairly, gets all the entries for their money down. And it's just another good way to support us. Get other updates and other things on Twitter and Facebook.
Yes.
And then send your feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. You can probably send show ideas there, too. JP will pass them along to Bevo, who's been doing a great job doing our booking recently. I know we've gotten some good feedback about all the shows we've been doing.
Yeah, I think so. It's just pretty much been consistent.
Which
is good.
Either we've been doing a better job, or I complained enough that people just are like, he's going to kill himself if we send one more bad review. So they're just telling us we're doing a great job now.
I think what it is that maybe everybody else's lives are going to shit.
Yeah.
And so they look to us as the last bastion of good entertainment. And so they feel very positive about it.
I like this.
And so I think, we've always sucked for 11 years. But right. In comparison to everyone's lives, you look at the upcoming elections, everyone's all haggard over that. North Korea's declaring war on us.
Yeah.
Come on, let's give some positive energy. And who else needs it more than the Brewing Network?
I agree.
What do you think?
Is North Korea declaring war on us?
I think they did. Or they threatened to nuke us because they think we're going to invade them soon. I don't know. No, they're nuts over there.
Shouldn't we invade them, though?
I think
by now. I mean,
get it over with.
Definitely.
I mean, we have invaded other countries for less.
That's true. That's true.
Technically, it's just a ceasefire.
We've got them locked in the basement anyway.
Extended ceasefire.
Yeah.
That's true.
Just want to state that the opinions and views stated on the Brewing Network are not shared by Beverly Moore.
That's fine. All right. So send your feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com.
Yes.
Do we have a Twitter game today?
Oddly enough, we do.
I love it when you say that. Twitter game is brought to you today by the Wine and Hop Shop. Go check them out. A great sponsor of ours. You can find them at wineandhop.com. What's our Twitter game?
Well, it's odd that somebody mentioned North Korea in the last piece. I don't know who it was, but some amazing person.
It is odd, yeah.
They just had their first ever beer festival. It sounds like a joke.
Mm-hmm.
They had their first ever beer festival. They had 800 people show up. Guess how many beers they were pouring.
How many people did they shot?
They were pouring one beer.
North Korean lager.
It's called...
Named after the ruler or something.
It's a Pyongyang Tai Dong Gang.
That's Pyongyang Tai Dong Kong.
Yes, thank you very much.
Which says, what emperor has a big penis.
That's probably exactly, the dong part. Apparently, the fest shows the superiority and vitality of our own social style, or our own style socialist system, which is all about the people. Anyways, to capitalize on this, I thought it was only prudent. We got to get in there early. It's probably one of the last places that is still hasn't experienced a craft beer boom.
Yeah.
So we should open a studio out there and deliver beer to the people via radio. So what should we call our People's Republic of North Korean
Location.
Studio location, yes, sir.
So what you're saying is we should be the Dennis Rodman of the beer world.
Absolutely.
And get in with, is it Kim Jong-il?
Kim Jong-un?
I forget.
Is it Un?
Who knows? But, all right, we should probably start by learning his name.
Well.
And sending gifts.
That'll help with the paperwork.
All right, so what is our new BN studio in North Korea called? That's your Twitter game for today. I like the idea. I like being multicultural. I like travel.
Yeah, you sure do.
I'm ready for North Korea.
All right, great.
All right, should we do some feedback, Doc? What do you think?
I think it would be a grand idea.
All right, the feedback is brought to you today by our very good friend John over at the Beer Law Center. You can go to beerlawcenter.com and check it out. He takes care of our trademark. He can do the same for you. He could also help you do all your TTB filing and different things if you're looking to open a brewery. Go to beerlawcenter.com. Just a couple short things in the feedback today. Don from Prairie Brothers Brewing wrote in, Dear Brewcasters, the Barry S. A Brewery Show was a fantastic show. The brewers were very knowledgeable and gave very good answers to some tough questions. I didn't know we asked tough questions.
I had him going there a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't know they gave very good answers.
Actually, a lot of this is about you, Tasty.
Oh, shit.
When Tasty started asking questions about the details of their beer, to clone for competition, I'm sure, he says, you could tell that the guys were hesitant to give out information. By listening to the flow of the episode and not tasting the actual beer, I could tell these guys are kicking some ass in brewing. I thought Tasty was going to have a heart attack when they wouldn't answer his questions directly. These guys were professional in skirting the answers and putting Tasty on edge. As much as we would love all the details of their brewing process, Barry Essex is keeping their recipes close to their heart and did not feel comfortable giving their secrets and confident letting Tasty push them around.
I know Chris really well.
So. I know you.
And when I see him in real life, we fight as well. So. I knew we'd be doing it on the podcast.
Yeah. That's what I could tell, too, when it was going back and forth. Because, you know, I don't intervene, but I would. Sometimes I steer away if I see things happen. But I could tell you this must be a conversation you always have.
Always.
And he never answers you.
Yeah. He's
Chris White.
Like Roger Davis a little bit.
Frankly, I pushed him a little harder than you did because I don't have a relationship with him. So, and noticing what was happening, I stepped in a couple times and was like, dude, like, what's going on here? You're not going to give us the details? Which, of course, I'm always fine with, too. I just like to poke the bear a little bit.
Well, and those people who you get a sense of their personality, and you can tell that those guys really were into that, and that's how they communicate with their friends, and they were super open and friendly. And I don't know, you kind of get in that flow with a certain people, you know, certain type of personality, and it's very easy to overdo it. But I think it flows out, and I thought it was a good job.
And I think they actually were a pretty nice balance of keeping a few things close to the sleeve and then giving out some stuff too. Because when we pressed them on a couple of things, you know, some of it was silly. Like when I started to press them harder, or at least make fun of them a little bit, it was when like he wouldn't answer me about mash temperature, and I was like, all right, come on. Just answer me about the fucking mash temperature. And I think they got that and then started to answer that stuff, too. I had a lot of fun with the Barry Essa guys.
Yeah, I had a great time.
They seemed like nice folks.
I hadn't met them before, or if I had, I was drunk. And I had a nice time. We hung out with them a little bit afterward and had some beers, and I do think they're making excellent beer, so the listener's right about that. And they were cool. I just think they have a good outlook on the beer scene. I like that about them, too. So, all right, well, thanks for writing in, Don.
They're creative but not pretentious about it, like adding like black limes and shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And there's some people do that, and they're just like, oh well, this is the finest locally sourced and you know highly sustainable. They threw it on the roof and dried it, like, you know what I mean. It's not.
They bought them at Safeway. We don't know where they bought them, but yeah.
And I like that. It shouldn't be a big thing. You know, you're putting your own twist on it, and let's bring our nose a little closer to the plane of existence here.
It's true. We always do relate a little better to the non-pretentious ones. We can handle the others who come in with all the fancy schmancy stuff, but inside, we're laughing at them.
Right.
I like a little organic food. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm into it. Like, but you're right. Sure. Like, sometimes hearing about it for the 12th time, I bought it from an immigrant who swam over here yesterday.
He actually swims it back and forth. He doesn't. It's very sustainable because he doesn't have a ship, a freighter ship.
Yeah.
He swims.
And he's very healthy because of all the swimming.
Yeah. We only brew this twice a year because he's in transit.
Yeah. All right. And actually, we only have one more this week. It's maybe this will be the last one I do about my ranting.
Your rant about your ranting?
It's another rant about my ranting from Dustin, who's a sergeant in the BN Army. He says, first off, I hate when people just write in to complain. So I would start with, you guys are amazing. You make great beer, or you my life, yada, 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 because it's all true. However, most of us listeners only write in to complain about shit, like a bunch of ungrateful asshats. I suppose this email is no different. I'm writing to complain about the complaining whiners who wrote in about the Justin rant. First of all, I do want to say you should continue to write in and complain and all that. And believe me, if it bothers me that much, I either go off on a rant or I don't read it. So either way, it's fine. That's right. And we like all the emails.
Better you just quit doing the show for like a month and a half.
Yeah, I'm taking my ball and going home. All right, he goes on to say, I actually truly enjoy your rants. It gives us all a sense of who you guys are. If I wanted to listen to a professional, boring, nerdy, monotone beer show, I'd have plenty to choose from. This show's not that. But you guys are professional. You're also family. I feel a part of this huge community and family in the BN, and it's part due to the human responses and rants and jokes that you guys present. And this is where this is why there's a BN Brew Club that wins Best Brew Club in the first place, whether you like it or not. You don't see that happen in other beer podcasts. So suck it, anti-rant feedbackers. I want to know who guys are because I can't just drink beer with you. That way, when I get to talk to Justin, like while some drunk dude who can't handle his shit is puking at the entrance of the spring Brewfest, I can be like, oh, that guy, that's Justin. He's super cool, but can be funny and kind of cunty with his occasional rants. Or that's JP. He's a total dork about Disneyland. Or even that's Beardy. He can't see shit and has a beard.
I like how I was the only one who's being nice to.
Yeah, yeah.
He was nice to me.
He was nice to you. Yeah. Well, he's worried about you.
Well, he should be.
So all the haters that want to be cunny and complain so they have something to do, stick with playing your Pokemon Go game or whatever you do and enjoy the goddamn show. Thanks for what you do. Rant on and fuck what people say. That being said, in Chechnya, only give a fuck was used when the first person was born here. There are no give a fucks left. That's a good Chechnya joke right there. Well done, Dustin. And that's what I complained about, too, is like, look, the show's always been about us talking about our stupid lives and things we complain about and the thing. So to get emails that are like, don't do that, I'm always like, well, God, what have you been listening to? Like, this is, I mind less when people complain about new shit we try, right? That's fine. All right. But when have we been doing it the entire time and you go, stop talking about your life.
I think most shows start with a vent of some sort. They're venting about something.
Most of the good ones, anyway. Because then I get it all off my chest right at the beginning.
Since your therapist kicked you out.
Exactly. I think he moved.
He's got to talk to somebody.
Well, he's on to the next study group.
He just doesn't answer your phone calls anymore.
Yeah, he won't even answer my calls. It's not right. It's not right at all. All right, that's your feedback for today, brought to you by the Beer Law Center. All right, well, like I said, we do have a great show planned for you today. We're going to take a quick break. And before we get to Pelican, when we come back, we're going to talk to Tom McCormick from the California Craft Brewers Association. And of course, they're putting on the second annual California Craft Beer Summit. Yeah. So we're going to learn about that and more on tonight's show. So hang in there. It's The Session. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters. Brewcasters on the Brewing Network. The Vault, created by White Labs. The Vault is a collection of new, creative, and unique yeast strains from around the world. These strains have never been available to homebrewers. Most have not even been available to professionals. You have the power to release the yeast. Through the Vault, White Labs is giving you the power to decide which strains are put into production and giving you the opportunity to brew with these strains. Visit whitelabs.com/thevault and pre-order the yeast strain of your choice and encourage your friends to do the same. Once 250 pre-orders have been achieved, White Labs will put that strain into production. The strain will be mailed directly to your doorstep, ready to make the beer you've always wanted to brew. This program was created with the homebrewer in mind. White Labs is relying on you to help release these strains, which may blaze the way for future new and unique beers. Help release the yeast. Visit whitelabs.com/thevault.
The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer? They make beer.
Watch out!
Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can, featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
Brewing great beer is a process of continuous learning, and the best books on every aspect of brewing can be found at Brewers Publications, with more than 50 awesome titles like Modern Homebrew Recipes by Gordon Strong, Designing Great Beers, The Ultimate Guide to Brewing Classic Beer Styles by Ray Daniels, American Sour Beers, Innovative Techniques for Mixed Fermentations by Michael Tonsmeyer, For the Love of Hops, The Practical Guide to Aroma, Bitterness, and the Culture of Hops by Stan Hieronymus, and Radical Brewing, Recipes, Tales, and World-Altering Meditations in a Glass by Randy Mosher, plus many, many more. These are the books and the authors with the knowledge to push your brewing farther than you thought possible. And you'll find them all at fine homebrew and book retailers everywhere. And visit the website at brewerspublications.com. Brewers Publications, all the best on beer and brewing.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. MoreBeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. MoreBeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to MoreBeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to MoreBeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the Learning Center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Marin Brewing Company in Northern California has been making award-winning beers for more than 25 freaking years. Today, I want to tell you about their new 12-ounce cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale. The good stuff. Mount Tam is bright gold, 5.5% ABV to keep you feeling good, and has been winning awards since 1989. If you're visiting the Bay Area, get your butt out to Marin Brewing Company. They pour tasty beers and serve great food every day until midnight. Come in for a tour, stay for the food, and pick up a six-pack of cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale to enjoy at home, camping, biking, or whatever the hell you do. Owner Brendan Moylan has this to say about Marin Brewing beers.
It's freaking awesome.
Marin Brewing has won more than 100 gold medals in international competitions. Check out marinbrewing.com for all their award-winning beers, food, and merch. Marin Brewing Company in Larkspur, California. Award-winning taste, refreshing finish. It's freaking awesome.
Are back.
888-401 beer.
Whatever.
All right, welcome back to the program. Thanks, as always, for hanging out with us. And thanks also for supporting one of our great sponsors, Great Fermentations. You can go over to greatfermentations.com right now and check them out. They have the largest catalog of Blickman products on the web. They do same-day shipping on some of the main items, which a lot of other vendors could take up to 3 weeks. And the staff is the best trained using Blickman products. So go check out their top-notch customer service. Like them on Facebook at GR8Fermentation. And Twitter, GR8 Fermentation. And, of course, at greatfermentations.com. All right. So I just want to mention the beer in my glass real quick.
Yes, please do.
I'm drinking the Cellar Maker ALS in Chains Pale Ale, which is a cool name because I'm a big Alice in Chains fan. And I wonder if they made it maybe for the Faction Beer Fest.
They certainly did.
Yeah. That was that for that. Yeah. It's a nice pale ale. It's cloudy, but doesn't taste as such. And I'm enjoying it quite
a
bit.
Great beer. It's one of the better ones I had there at that festival.
Was it?
Because every brewery that was there was pouring a beer made but with that same hop.
Oh, I see. That's right. That's how Roger does it. Yeah. Okay. I think they did a really nice job.
They don't just do it for the Faction event. They do it just, you know, to pour at their own outlets, and most of it goes to for ALS research.
All right. Well, it's a great beer. I just wanted to point it out.
It's really good.
Boys over at Cellar Maker are doing a good job. All right. In the meantime, we've got Tom McCormick on the line. And Tom is, you might remember him from the show in the past. He's the executive director of the California Craft Brewers Association. Tom, you with us?
I am. I wish I was there in the studio with you enjoying that beer.
So do we, Tom. It's been a little while since we've seen you. Thanks for being back on the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Tom, of course, working with the California Craft Brewers Association on various things, and upcoming once again is the second annual California Craft Beer Summit. So the first one was a success, huh, Tom?
It was. We had a really good time, and a lot of people came out and showed up, and we had really good feedback, and everyone wanted us to do it again, so we're back for year two.
Excellent. We talked a lot about it. Of course, we were there and did some reporting on it and some recording of different things. And, you know, the couple of things that we mentioned about it is that it really was who's who in the beer industry there in terms of people that you could really just run into on the expo floor and around the conference itself and talk to them. You know, beer luminaries really just kind of hanging out. Of course, there to do speaking too, but they all stayed for the expo and the social events. So that was a lot of fun. And then the second part that we really enjoyed was the beer fest itself that happened at the end on the Capitol Mall, which was just so well done. You guys did such a great job.
Great. Thank you. We're going to do it again, and the beer festival is even bigger than last year, so we're really looking forward to it.
It kind of blows my mind that there's even that many California breweries. And we were walking up and down Capitol Mall, and so you're telling me now there's going to be more. I mean, I'm lazy, so I was a little tired walking up. But, you know, I've been to festivals with that many breweries, not many, by the way.
Yeah.
But those are usually breweries from multiple states.
Yeah.
How many breweries are you guys going to have this year, do you think, just from California?
Well, we had 150 last year, so we just had a really hard time saying no to everyone that wanted to come out. And
yeah.
So we're going to have 165 this year, but wow. There's 718 operating craft breweries in California right now, so
wow.
We had to say no to a lot of people.
Oh, really? So do a lot of people heard about it and tried to get involved, and there's just not enough room, huh?
Just not enough room, and you know, there comes a point where there's probably too many breweries, so we think that 165 is going to be kind of the cap, and that in itself makes it the largest beer festival in California.
Yeah.
And how many blocks long is that, Tom?
Well, it's a total of 5 blocks.
5 blocks.
God.
And they line, so if you can picture it, it's like the Capitol Mall is this really cool stretch. And so it's 5 blocks, and it's lined on both sides with breweries. And the cool thing about that is then there's tons of space just to meander around. And that's what was really nice about it last year. A lot of people there, but just a lot of room.
Well, then manning the taps were the brewers themselves. They came for the event.
Yeah.
They brought the beer in because a lot of them drove because it's California, right?
Yeah.
And so they came, they brought the beer, they poured the beer. I mean, you had great access to the brewers.
So, Tom, do you think you'll do some kind of rotation or something to try to get other California brewers in as the years go on?
Yeah, we haven't quite figured that out yet, but yes, we definitely want to rotate, you know, breweries through. The idea is to represent the entire state, of course. So this year, you'll see a much stronger regional setup. We kind of tried to do that last year, and we were fairly successful, but we have a new plan this year. So it'll be very obvious. We'll have it broken up into regions. So, you know, if you want to go try the beers from San Diego, that will be very clearly defined. Everything will be kind of color coded, so that will be easy to find, or, you know, Central Coast, Northern California, et cetera. So we want to keep that geographic diversity going. And, you know, there's a lot of new breweries, obviously, opening up in the state. We have 100 new breweries opening up every year. So, and we really want to embrace the new breweries as well as the well-established breweries that everybody knows about. So, yes, we have to figure out a way to mix it up and have that variety and diversity.
Okay. Speaking of all the new breweries that open up, I talked to Tom before the last show that he was on. He's very nice with his time, and we were talking about the Brewing Network and should we open a brewery and things like that. And Tom, you know, it was like, you know, just keep selling beer like you're doing. those weren't Tom's exact words. Tom, and maybe this is, I don't think you'd mind me giving this advice out, because I think it's really good advice that people should know. Tom really said to me, you know, to make it in the marketplace now, it's really, really helpful to have a good story. You know, really just something that sets you apart, which, of course, we do have. It's all we have is a story. but because we're doing well at other things, and the marketplace is just so competitive, isn't it, Tom, that you just really suggested, you're doing fine where you're at right now.
Yeah, you know, that was, roughly a year ago, and it's more competitive now, far more competitive now than it was just 1 year ago. And I love the, you know, what you guys are doing there. I think it's really cool. So, but yeah, you know, you really, it's hard to set yourself apart, and you really do have to have a story. It has to be a real story. It has to be an authentic story. And, but, you know, having said that, you know, just since 1 year ago, there's been a lot of great new breweries open up.
Yep. And people still succeeding. There is still room to grow. And for me, it's not that. I actually still believe there's plenty of room for other breweries. And I encourage you folks out there looking to take the plunge to keep thinking about that. For me, it's more just knowing what you're good at. And the sales side of it, the competing for tap handles and shelf space, is just something that makes me nervous. I just, you know, you really got to know what you're doing. And I would encourage new breweries to, more than ever, you know, when we started the BN, we would just encourage people to learn how to make great beer. And that's still part of it. Now, though, more than ever, learn about how to get that beer on the shelf and into the tap handles, right? So
yeah, that's the hard part.
So is that part of the conference, too? I know that there's a big educational format with the summit. So what can we expect to see with the different talks that you guys have ready to go?
Well, that is, you know, that's always been a part of my vision, is having this event that is both experiential, where people can really come and experience craft beer, and also educational. So, yes, we're doing, just like last year, we have the tap talks out on the expo floor, and then we also have the more in-depth, detailed educational seminars in the breakout rooms. And so we're doing that again this year, and in fact, speaking of starting a brewery, we have a specific track on Friday for people that are interested in getting into the industry and possibly starting a brewery. So we have a talk on how to get into the industry, not necessarily just as starting a brewery or opening a brewery, but all the different job opportunities that are out there and available for people that want to get into the craft brewing industry. And then we also have a seminar specifically on how to open a brewery. So,
excellent.
In addition to that, of course, we'll have talks for retailers, specific talks for home brewers, and just kind of general industry trends and things of that nature as well.
That's great.
Now, Tom, you've added the homebrewer thread. What's your thinking on that? I think I already know the answer to this, but I just want to hear you say why you're adding that.
Well, I mean, homebrewers, it's kind of where we all, kind of, most of us, it's where we came from, and it's very dear to our hearts. And so us in the craft brewing industry just really feel a strong connection to the whole homebrewing scene. And so we just we want to encourage and promote home brewing. So we have kind of an introductory session on home brewing, how to get started in home brewing. And then we have a seminar on advanced home brewers, home brewing, so that those that are doing home brewing can get their chops down even better and learn some more.
Excellent.
Yeah.
By the way, Jamil's doing the advanced home brewing.
So. Oh, he is?
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's perfect.
That'll be cool.
Yeah.
Jamil will be great at that.
Oh, yeah.
And just as an example of the caliber of education, when I went last year, one of the seminars that I sat in, and we recorded it actually, mm-hmm. was, and I'm going to forget her name, Tom will, but the founder of Three Weavers Brewing Company.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Alex.
Lynn Weaver.
Lynn, there you go. Lynn, that's what I thought. Lynn Weaver. And so what she did was a presentation about how to finance a brewery and the different ways you can do it. And she was so detailed that she shared her pro forma for her company and the different – I mean, it was stuff that you would pay a lot more money to go get in school to really learn what a brewery did. It was kind of like having a mentor just sit next to you and go – look, this is every single thing I did. She really laid it out. And then I think made those materials available to people who bought tickets afterward through the CCBA. So just did a killer job. And that's the caliber stuff. Tom, that's what I really liked about your event is that it was so well thought out. And I do find that sometimes when we go to summits and conferences that some of the lectures are lacking. You know what they are? They're just sometimes a little too general. And I found that there last year, people were very, very specific answering questions, and that was a good change.
Well, that's good to hear and good feedback, and we really spent a lot of time sorting through that to make sure that we pair up the right speaker to the right topic and really make sure that they come prepared. And so it's a lot of work because we have numerous conference calls and conversations with each one of the speakers ahead of time. But I think it pays off. And, you know, again, that's what we're trying to do is really put on a quality event that really stands out.
Yeah. Well, I think you're doing it. I'm proud of you guys on your second year here. Folks, you can go to CaliforniaCraftBeer.com right now, and then there'll be a link you can click to get to the summit. But go to CaliforniaCraftBeer.com. You can purchase tickets to the summit. You can get tickets to just the festival if you want. If you didn't want to go to the whole summit, you can do it that way. And next week on the show, we're going to be giving away some tickets, right, JP?
We're going to give away two actual all-weekend passes.
Perfect.
So in June, we gave away two just tickets to the fest.
Yep.
This is for everything.
The whole conference, all the seminars,
the fest, and everything, yeah.
All right. So you can win tickets here at the Brewing Network on next Monday's show. And in the meantime, you can go to CaliforniaCraftBeer.com and buy tickets now. So, Tom, I wish you guys luck. It's a great thing you're putting on. Thanks for talking to us about it.
Thanks for having me, and we look forward to seeing you up there at the summit.
Absolutely. Hope to see you soon. Thanks, Tom.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. There you go, Tom McCormick and the Craft Beer Summit. It really is well organized and well done. So if you're wondering about which ones you should go to for education, and you're not going there to mess around, I'll tell you that.
Right.
I mean, you'll have fun because in the expo, they serve a lot of beer, and you could, but it's just really well run that way. That if you're kind of serious about growing up and starting your own thing, or you're already doing your own thing, go check it out.
Imagine what the craft beer scene would be like today if back in like the 90s or early 2000s, people were as free with their information.
Right.
You know, I remember even when we were starting the show, people were like, oh, you know, I'm not going to talk to you about my business plan or how I did the things.
Yeah.
But imagine if they were. And now it seems like it would be insane for you to be sharing that information to get other startup breweries into your pool.
Yeah.
Because it's competition, essentially. I know we don't like to talk about it, but it sort of is. But
yeah.
I don't know. I think it's an incredible place to be right now in the industry.
If you're a home brewer and can actually get to this thing, it's really cool. Yeah,
you
have so much access to the brewers.
Well,
like I remember when it was like over at 4 o'clock, like on, or it was when it was like the seminars and everything were over. Then it was the period like before the festival started, right?
Yeah.
So I grabbed, Mitch and Matt. We went out and had beers and dinner. They're just available. They're just around. Everybody's
just
around.
I know. Yeah.
It's great.
And that's it really was a standout thing for that.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, to your point, JP, the California Craft Brewers Association has been really proactive about education and helping like this for years.
Yeah.
I just didn't know about it. When I met Tom before this show, and we got to, first of all, he really was excited about what we do here. So he was really kind of just enthusiastic. And we got to talking, and his main thing was like, how do I not know about you guys? Yeah, and I said right. the same thing to him, to be honest. I was like, how do I not know about you? And he was readily discussing resources for me about different sponsorship opportunities and people that they work with and that we could work with and just ways to grow this thing. They're, I guess what I'm saying is they've been giving out this information for years. We just didn't know about it. And I wonder if a lot of California brewers starting up don't know about what a great resource to California Craft Brewers Association
I'm sure.
is, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I ended up having so many follow-up calls with him and his team about different aspects that we could be doing to work together that I was like, how do these people are like not treating us like the redheaded stepchildren. They're ready to give out resources.
We're used to that.
I was like, this is really strange. Tom must have, I don't know if it's the hop grenade making us look better or something, but I was like, this is odd.
Yeah.
Well, you're but pushing in the same direction, but you're advancing California Craft.
We are. And
but he recognizes
that's their,
that for some reason.
He does.
He's one of the only ones.
But I guess what I'm saying is that's the CCBA's mission.
Yeah.
And if you're a brewer in California and you're not connected with them, you're missing out on something huge. And I felt a little dumb that I'd been missing out on it all these years, too. So check out the CCBA. That's from my heart. And then check out the Craft Brewers Conference. That's me giving you good advice because it's fun. Even if you just go to the beer fest.
Yeah.
God damn it, that beer fest was cool.
Yeah,
so anything on Capitol Mall with 165 breweries,
yeah, I know,
good
dude,
Lord.
Right.
I mean, here's what all right, JP, if I sent you to that festival.
No, I'll go.
Here's what I would expect. Just a bet, okay. not the whole conference.
Yeah, yeah.
That you can't come back and complain about a single beer. Because there's so many great, so many California breweries that if you can't find just nothing but great beers to talk about, it's on you.
Okay.
Right, because there's just too much good beer.
Let's try it.
And so
let's prove this theory.
Send you the thing,
all right.
Go over the day, all and right. you have to, not one negative review.
Okay.
And maybe we have to like give a, because then you come back, give one review.
Yeah. The pale ale was not as bitter as I thought.
Right. No, we'll give you like a specific number of beers you have to find that you give nothing but positive reviews about. How can you not with 165 California breweries?
Yeah. I think it would be great to keep it under a time limit, too, because I think that would really showcase how much great beer there is. Like, if you you need to try 15 beers in under an hour, and there's some sort of ratio of beer to bad beer.
Right? He drunk.
Yeah.
All right, so Bevo's driving you, and you're going to the festival.
Who's
going to
help him walk around? That's the biggest thing.
I'll get one of those Segways.
Maybe. Oh, yeah.
Yes!
How about you have to start?
I am almost willing to rent you that just now for the photo opportunity.
The Segway guy.
So there's Disney World in Epcot, there's a thing called the World Showcase where they have a bunch of different areas. Trust me, this is beer related.
Yeah.
A bunch of different areas from the world. Like
I've been there.
China and wherever the fuck, right? And there's a thing called drinking around the world.
Yeah, yeah.
So on Ears Up, on my Disney podcast, because I'm amazing, there's a guy who wrote in. He was like, the only way to do that is to rent a lark. Is to rent an electric scooter and you drink. You can. That's the only way you can actually. So the drink of the world around the world is
far away.
Start from A and you go all the way around and you drink an alcoholic beverage in every pavilion, every world pavilion.
So is it the distance or the alcohol consumption?
It's both because it's a giant area. It's a giant.
Yeah, it takes a while to walk around. So people with kids, it's tougher because you're dragging the kids.
It probably takes 45 minutes to walk just without stopping, and it's hot and whatever. So I feel like that would translate well with this beer fest.
Yeah.
Five blocks, 165 breweries.
I think I did like a block and a half. I did one block. Then I crossed over and like did a half of a block.
I tell you,
so I need to rent two Segways.
If there's a hotel in the middle of that, they're going to be making tons of cash.
Yeah.
How about a Surrey? You know, you get somebody to take them around.
that might be better. I'm trying to figure out what they're going to allow in. I feel like on the Segway we can be like, well, he doesn't have a thyroid. I mean,
yeah, really.
Whatever medical condition we can come up with.
Check his scar.
So he need. They're like, how do you argue with that?
Yeah.
They're like, why do you need this, sir? I don't have a thyroid.
It's like arguing with a therapy doctor.
Well, and then if he keeps going, he'd be like, I'm a cancer survivor.
Listen, I'm a.
Oh. But say it really loudly.
Yeah.
Wear something pink.
I do not even have a thyroid, sir.
How many glands do you have? You don't even know, do you?
No, don't even mention glands, because most people don't even know what a thyroid is.
True,
right?
Yeah.
Like, whatever security guard there is going to be like, oh, that sounds
I'm only excited because I don't have a thyroid. I'm just going off.
Yeah. I wouldn't be so excitable right now if I had a fucking thyroid.
Yeah. Unchecked rage.
Okay, well, we have to look into this segue.
All the cloudy IPAs.
Ugh.
No, because I wanted to come back positive.
Would you say just one?
All right. So we'll give you. You have to come back with X number of positive beers and one positive cloudy IPA review too.
Okay, I'll do it.
Something.
I'll do it.
All right. Once again, go check it out at CaliforniaCraftBeer.com. It's a good summit. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we've got Pelican Brewing Company in the studio with us and on the phone, and we're going to learn all about Pelican beer. Hang in there. It's the session. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on two gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high temperature March pump, and either a top tier gas burner or the new boil coil electric heater. The Brew Easy adapter lid allows the pots to stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20-gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your BrewEasy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The BrewEasy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your BrewEasy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new BrewEasy all-grain brewing system. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new BrewEasy. Easy. Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the Five-star treatment today.
That's it. I've had it. I am never putting hops in my beer again.
What? Why?
It's just too ridiculous. Insane prices, stupid contracts, high shipping costs, crappy selection.
Dude, you need Nico Brew.
Nico Brew will rock your f***ing face right the f*** off your f***ing skull. $5 shipping to all 50 states, plus fantastic international rates, get you low prices on Nico Brew's great selection of hops and more. Whether you're a home brewer, a pro brewer, or a homebrew shop owner, Nico Brew can get you the hops you need in increments big and small, single orders, spot buys, or full contracts. And there's only one place to join the uber special Secret Elite Bare Bones Club, where you'll get the best deals anywhere.
Holy f***ing shit!
NicoBrew.com. NikoBrew. Nico Brew, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
If you work in retail sales, the restaurant industry, or are a new craft beer enthusiast, or you know someone who is, you have got to check out Beer 101. Beer 101 is an online course created for anyone wanting a quick introduction to the vast world of craft beer. Beer 101 covers the history of beer, brewing ingredients and processes, vital stats like ABV, SRM, IBU and gravity, styles, tasting, glassware, and pairing beer with food. The Beer 101 course is offered by the Brewers Association at craftbeer.com, also home to the truly awesome Beer Style Finder, a visual guide to every beer style. Quickly play with color, bitterness, and alcohol content to interactively explore the entire world of beer styles with a gorgeously designed interface to your favorite beverage. The new Beer 101 course and new Beer Style Finder are only available at craftbeer.com. Craftbeer.com, celebrating the best of American beer. Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and the freshest ingredients, backed by the best customer service in the business. Do you like to mash using efficient fly sparging, but would like an easy way to heat your strike and sparge water? Enter the new Brewer's Edge Electric Mash Water Heater, a plug-in, anywhere, precisely controlled heater for strike and sparge water. Ditch the fumes and second burner and make mashing easy. Go to williamsbrewing.com today and browse their vast selection. That's williamsbrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
To the show, and thanks so much for hanging out with us. Hey, don't forget that the American Homebrewers Association is here to help you, homebrewers, and you can sign up through the BN website by clicking the AHA link right there on our homepage. And, you know, we've been telling you for a couple weeks, we just want to remind you again about the amazing member deals that you get through the AHA. So you buy your membership, and you can pretty much get it back in member deals. Member deals, of course, are discounts at well over 1,400 participating breweries, pubs, beer bars, homebrew supply shops, and there's even a handy deal finder and map on homebrewersassociation.org. So the Hop Grenade here in Concord, for example, will give you a discount if you pull out your AHA card. And I know that our sponsor, More Beer, will give you a discount. And there's so many, you can just go on to homebrewersassociation.org and check it out and get your you get your membership back in deals, right, Tasey? You
yes,
carry,
yes,
you've
yes,
been
yes.
carrying your card with you for years.
This is yeah, card carrying.
Well, the number one for me carrier. Is you get into the member session at the GABF.
Oh, yeah.
Get a party for those.
That's worth its weight right
We're still,
there.
Still sell out the same day they go on sale.
Now they do.
At least you got a shot at it.
You get a shot. All right. So go check them out by clicking the AHA link right there on the Brewing Network homepage. It's on the right side. All right. In the meantime, we've got Pelican Brewing Company in the studio with us, which I'm really excited about. I was at the brewery years ago on a trip through Oregon. I was actually going all the way to Vancouver and back in my little Volkswagen bus and had a bunch of Frenchies with me, people, beer fans from Paris, and you know they were kind of mapping the place out actually, and they heard about Pelican and said we got to go see this brewery. It's right on the ocean. We heard about, and so we drove over there, had lunch, checked it out, and like I said at the beginning of the show. Man, is it right on the ocean. If you go to their website right now, you'll see a picture of it just right when you log in there. So it's I found a different website, actually. YourLittleBeachTown.com? Is that the Pelican website? Or just?
Yes.
Oh, that is it. Oh, wait, hang on. Hang on, Ryan. There you go.
That's the website. We
oh, it
have
is. Okay.
Other interests. We're in the hotel business as well. And,
oh, cool.
And that's a shot from a hotel looking over the brew pub. And,
oh,
yeah.
Man.
No, it's feet in the sand, overlooking the ocean. It's a beautiful spot.
It's so cool. All right. And then also on the phone with us, we've got Darren Welch, who is a brewmaster and one of the owners at Pelican. You with us, Darren? Oh, did I lose him? Looks like I did.
And we're just talking about how professional we are?
I know. Well, it probably isn't my fault. I bet Darren got tired of listening to Weezer at the break and was like, yeah, I'll just be back.
Can you? Get tired of Weezer?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, you can.
He's like, I'll just be back when Weezer's not playing.
Ween's coming around.
I got tickets.
Hello, this is Darren.
Hey, Darren, it's Justin from the Brewing Network.
Hello, Justin.
Did you get tired of listening to Weezer and just hung up the phone?
Yeah, it sounded like somebody's butt dial. I kept saying, hello, hello, is anybody there?
Bevo, didn't you tell him that that's how it works? Like, we just call you and, yeah, okay. No problem. Sorry that we confused you there, but we're here with Ryan now, and we were just talking about, we started with the real estate, because you guys have the best location in brewing, man.
Totally.
Which might be why you started in 96 and have never left. That sound about right, Darren?
We opened in 1996.
And you've never, so you're one of the owners as well. Is that true?
That's true, yes.
Okay. Because at first I was thinking, a lot of times when we talk to brewers, you know, one of the questions we always ask ahead of time when we ask a brewmaster is, where else have you brewed? And Darren's answer was, I've been here since 96. And then my first thought always is like, God, well, why? They must be doing something right. Brewers move all the time, right? And so then we thought, he's just there because the beach location is so damn good. But then, of course, we found out you're an owner, so you got two good reasons to stay. So, are you from Oregon, Darren?
Yeah, I'm originally from Oregon, but not. I didn't grow up on the coast. I grew up in the Eugene area.
Okay.
And I had the opportunity to sign on with Pelican when it was really in the planning stages. So, yeah, I started as an employee, but later on had the opportunity to join in. Part of the ownership.
Oh, that's great. That's always nice to hear too. So you can really become invested in company and stick around. How far away from the brewery do you live now? We were joking at the beginning of the show, just talking about how nice the location is. That if you're like a bike ride away from the brewery, I just would never leave that job or location.
Yeah, I'm about 10 miles south of the Pacific City Brewery.
Okay.
And it's about 35 miles up to the Tillamook Brewery.
Got it. Okay.
And set the odometer for Cannon Beach because that's a little bit of a haul.
So you have three different locations now then?
Yes, we do.
And how long has that been?
Go ahead. So Pacific City is our original brew pub, which, as we just mentioned, opened in 1996.
Okay.
And in 2013... after searching really for a couple of years, we finally and successfully opened the facility in Tillamook. Because we really needed more space than Pacific City could provide to run a small production brewery. And production brewery has gotten bigger, so that's a good thing. Because if it was getting smaller, then nobody's buying our stuff. So that's always bad for business.
Of course.
Well, good for us because we have your beer here today.
We do. Yeah, so the expansion is good for us, and it makes me wonder what the plan was when you started. Were you guys just going to be a kind of a local brew pub and, of course, a tourist destination because it's such a cool spot? Or did you always know that you might have a production facility and expand a little bit?
Well, we always had... we always had the ambition to grow, and with the rest of the ownership having so many different projects, that didn't happen necessarily according to some giant master plan. But
okay, yeah,
you know, it was always for many years we wanted to just be a brew pub and be the best darn brew pub that we could be.
Yeah.
And then we wanted to be a bigger brew pub, so we got to the point where we were producing more for off-site sales than on-site sales. And, you know, at that point, it doesn't, at least for operationally, it doesn't feel quite as brew pubby.
Sure.
But it got to the point, once we started self-distributing, that we were just going to run out of physical space and capacity. And, you know, Pacific City's a small beachside town, fishing and tourism are kind of the two of the big things that we do there. And there's not a lot of commercial light industrial type real estate. So
okay.
that really kind of ruled out major plant in Pacific City and in the wastewater capacity in the town of Pacific City is somewhat limited as well. So that was another big limiting factor. But
that's a good point.
So we've got lots of fresh water and it's got lots of capacity to take our wastewater and real business friendly environment up there and great location, lots of space.
Well, you can only do so much in a brew pub as far as the cooperage. So I'm sure you outgrew that pretty quick, right, in terms of making more beer and a place to, you know, store it while you ship it elsewhere in the state.
Yeah. My experience has been no matter what size brewery you have, there's always a shortage of cooperage and cold storage.
Okay.
No matter how ludicrously large you plan it to be, that seems to be universal.
Yeah.
All of my colleagues, larger than us, smaller than us, everybody, you know, we all complain about our brewery floors, not enough cold storage, and where do all the kegs go?
That's right. Right. Why am I buying kegs all the time?
What size is the original brewery?
The original brewery is a 15-barrel system.
Okay.
And what we put into Tillamook was a 30-barrel system. 3 years ago, it was a three-vessel brew house, so it had a little more throughput than a two-vessel brew pub system. And then earlier this year, just a few months ago, actually, in June, we completed a set of major upgrades to that brew house, and it's now a five-vessel brew house. So the throughput, is quite a bit higher. We can be putting the batch out every 3 hours instead of every 5 hours. So and ultimately, we hope to save a little time off of that and be able to knock out a batch about every 2 hours. It's a work in progress, but that's the goal.
So can you explain to me and our listeners what a five-vessel system means? Does that mean there are two mash tuns? What I do understand is it means you can just kind of keep on brewing. You move from vessel to vessel.
Right.
You don't have to. But could you go a little more? Yeah.
So in our five-vessel system, we have a separate mash tun, and once the conversion stand is over and we've mashed off, we can transfer to the louder tun, which is where we separate the grain from the soluble solids, i.e. malt sugar.
Okay.
And then we, for the first batch of the day, we'll collect wort to the kettle, and then from the kettle, after it's done boiling, we'll go to the whirlpool. Once that first batch is through or is started, by the time the second batch is ready to start running off, you're still boiling wort in the kettle.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And so we have a wort receiver, which is our old whirlpool, which is we're in the process of retrofitting that with an external shell and tube heat exchanger so that we can collect wort into the wort receiver, bring it close to a boil, and then once the kettle's empty, pump it all over there in short order and bring it to a boil.
Got it.
So you're preheating it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's a nice, that's a good efficient,
clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's clever.
Well, the pinch point is the kettle because it's a 90-minute boil.
Yeah.
But it's really expensive, and you don't want to, you know, you have to have a lot of energy to run two kettles at one time.
Yeah.
So you just maximize everything else.
It's a great idea, and of the systems we've talked about in here, I don't think I've heard from a brewery come in and say, "Yeah, we preheat the wort, so we're almost there by the time we get in." Yeah. It's a good idea.
And you mentioned a lauter tun and a mash tun and a lauter tun. Is a mash tun often called a mash mixer?
It can also be called a mash mixer.
Okay, fine. I understand. So then, that's where you just like make sure everything's continuous. And are those typically temperature controlled, or is that just all like strength water? Mm-hmm. It is temperature.
Typically, those are temperature controlled, and you can run them variety of different ways. You can do full step mashes. You could, I guess if you figured it out correctly, you could plumb it so that you could do decoction mashing if you wanted to. But
it's overrated.
That's something nah. cool to talk about. Yeah. It's actually not all that cool if you're the brewer.
Right.
And the drinkers don't know shit anyway.
We're in a small town on rural coastal Oregon, and employee retention is high on my list of priorities. Telling the graveyard brewer, oh, by the way, you're going to do a three-step decoction on this one.
You have to say you did it one time at least.
Yeah.
We did this as a special thing. And
yeah, right. That's a smart
outlook. Spend a lot of extra time and money and energy.
Right. Well, let's talk about a beer that's in our glass since we're talking about your brewery. We've got your cream ale in our glass, which is, Ryan,
what's
it called? The Kiwanda. That's right. We've got it on tap here at the Hop Grenade and in our glass in the studio. So tell us about this beer.
So Kiwanda is our flagship beer. And it was originally conceived that very first year that we were open as a summer seasonal. And what I was doing with this beer was imagining what beers would have been like 100-plus years ago before Prohibition, and just thinking about these waves of immigration that kind of populated not only our country but also the ranks of brewers. So in the earliest waves, we had largely British Isles immigrants, and the breweries that those guys founded were making primarily ales. And then, you know, you move forward to the middle of the 19th century, and you see a lot of immigration from other parts of Europe, especially Central Europe, Germans, Czechs, Austrians, really kind of from the lager brew brewing, lager beer brewing part of Europe.
Yeah.
And so they brought with them the knowledge, know-how, and interest in lager beers. So you had all these lager breweries starting up. Well, the older brewers started feeling a little competitive pinch and decided, well, we need to make something to compete. And so they took what was essentially raw materials and lifted a few process tips from the lager guys, were essentially making ale fermented pilsners, and they added mechanical refrigeration for a lagering step, and all of a sudden this new hybrid beer style was created, which they called cream ale because it was lighter in color and less bitter than the stock ales that they had previously been producing at their main product. So in the early days of Pelican, I was kind of thinking about lighter colored beers, and, you know, in the mid 90s, it was all about wheat beers, and, you know, we had one too, but never really interested in the Me Too kind of stuff. So I was thinking about what can we do that's different, that has some great flavor attributes, that has a little bit of a story behind it, and kind of reimagine what those pre-prohibition cream ales would have been like. And Kiwanda was born, and the second summer we had it on as a seasonal, it hugely outsold side by side the unfiltered wheat beer that we had been doing, and that was the ticket. And the wheat beer went away, and Kiwanda went into the full time lineup, and I was very happy about that, and continue to be happy because it's a great beer.
It is a great beer, and so you've been doing this longer than me, but I do feel like also this, it's a great beer on its own, but also this type of beer is now coming back into favor, I think, where people are looking at lager type beers again and flavorful like this. And what I really like about yours is, you know, in the past, I've been a little turned off by cream ales just kind of because of a lack of flavor, but yours, more like a pre-prohibition ale, has some of the, I don't know if you use corn in it, but it has some of those like corn flavors and some of the more robust Pilsner flavors that I'd be looking for in a cream ale, so that it doesn't just taste like a bland blonde ale. That's what bothers me about craft breweries who put out a cream ale that tastes more like a bland blonde ale, right? Yep. This is not bland at all. It has so much more complexity to it.
And it has a lot of mouthfeel in there for, you know, a blonde ale. You're right. I've had cream ales that taste more like a blonde ale. They're kind of thin, kind of watery.
Yeah.
And there's not a whole lot there in your mid palate.
Well, then this has a story behind it about the pre-prohibition thing.
Yeah, of course.
It kind of gives it that backstory.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice. And so when people, they see a nice light beer like this and they get something with more flavor, more mouthfeel, it's a bit thicker of a beer.
Yeah.
And they're not so put off by it because they kind of like the cool story.
Yep.
And it's a great beer.
I get a very subtle pepper note in there to add some complexity to it. And I just, unfortunately, those other beers give cream ale such a bad name. Mm. This is such
I do shy away when I see cream ale.
Right? This is such a great representative. Yeah. Can you tell us more about the malt bill or anything? Because it is more complex than we're used to.
Well, being a pre-prohibition style, the way I was thinking about that, designing the beer, is that a lot of the Pilsners, right after brewers came over, they would have been brewing largely all malt with minimal adjunct because they were coming out of the Germanic and the Czech traditions.
Yeah.
And so adjunct is pretty much verboten, if you'll excuse my German there.
That's fine.
And so this beer was designed with standard American two-row. Again, kind of hearkening back to, you know, these guys come overseas. It's a new environment. They're making these beers. The ale brewers have to adapt, so they're using similar raw materials, but they're not, you know, they're not importing boatloads of German Pilsner malt. They're using what's available.
Hmm.
And so with that spirit in mind, you know, I'm using the two-row, the standard West Coast two-row that so many of us brew with, and it's a fine malt. And I think a lot of people sort of give it short shrift because you know, they're doing other things with it rather than just letting the malt flavor come through, because it does have a real nice malt flavor to it.
Yeah.
We use flaked barley as our adjunct instead of flaked corn.
Okay.
And I like to use the flaked barley because it helps dry out the finish, but not at the expense of foam stability or texture in the mouth. So it actually tends to build up the body a little bit rather than thin out the body. But it does also help with attenuation, a little bit of dryness in the finish.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you mentioned a background black pepper note, and I have to compliment you on that because that's one of the tertiary flavor notes that people often get from Mount Hood hops, and this is a single hop beer.
Okay.
Oh,
nice.
Look at you.
Look at me.
Yes.
It doesn't happen often.
But when it does.
Yeah.
He can find strip clubs and he knows pepper flavor.
That's, and I know, yeah, those are the two things I know, Darren, is strippers and pepper, apparently.
Because that could have gone so the other way.
Well,
it would have gone...
But
are you kidding me?
But
are you
for one, it was I was saying it really as a compliment, and that's why I was also careful to say how subtle it is, because I didn't want to say, because imagine a cream ale that tastes like a bunch of pepper.
Yeah, right.
That's not what I was trying to explain. Yeah. It just was a just tiny note of it.
It's very subtle.
I knew it was in there because when I smelled it, I started sneezing. So I feel like,
right. But it's from the hops, Darren. That's interesting.
Yep. Okay. So the Mount Hood hops give, you know, the the big note from Mountain Hood hops is that big floral aroma and flavor.
Yep.
And then as you layer down in the flavor attributes of Mountain Hood hops, you can often get really subtle notes of black pepper.
Okay.
And, you know, I personally select all the hops that Pelican brews with, so I have very specific things that I'm looking for when I'm rubbing raw hops at hop selections, which are, in fact, coming up pretty soon here.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you still enjoy that after 20 years in the business?
Yeah, hop selections are always kind of a highlight of the year.
I bet. Yeah, that would
to think about everything we're going to brew next year.
How many different beers do you brew a year? Ish, you know.
I can't honestly answer that for you.
Okay.
we have four seasonals that rotate. Let's see, I have to count them off. I think we've got 5 year-round beers, maybe 6 now.
Okay. Nice.
And then we've got we have draft only small batch stuff that comes out of the brew pubs, and we usually have at least a couple per month from Pacific City. And once we get the Cannon Beach Brewery fully operational, we'll have at least one or two out of that place too. So it'll be several dozen per year.
Okay. No. Ryan, I'm curious from you, from the sales side, how the Kiwanda still does in the portfolio. And, of course, you know I ask because anything with the IPA next to it is the best-selling beer in the world. Now, everyone wants something hoppy like that. I do think, like I mentioned, people are changing a little bit. But how is this beer doing for you guys still after these years?
You know, it's our flagship.
Still,
you know, we
yeah.
sell more Kiwanda
wow.
cream than any other
you do.
beer in our portfolio, and we have a fantastic IPA we'll be tasting here in a little bit. The nice piece for us is, you know, we get a lead with a cream ale as our flagship.
That is
cool. You know, the IPA category obviously is king and continues to grow.
Yeah.
But at some point, you know, that bubble might burst. And,
yeah, of course.
And all of our eggs aren't in that basket. And we feel like, you know, with Kiwanda cream, we have a chance to really, you know, redefine that category and really own that category.
Yeah.
And so when someone thinks about a cream ale, they'll think about Kiwanda specifically.
So that's kind of why I was saying about the other cream ales. My first thought is it's unfortunate for you guys that other cream ales are sort of failing and making us maybe not order one. But from your perspective, maybe it's fortunate that you can show people again what it's supposed to be like.
You know, Darren will attest to this. I begged him for my first 2 years on the job to change the name.
Oh, you did?
From a cream ale. But now I get it
yeah.
and fully on board and wouldn't have it any other way. So,
yeah.
Totally understand what you're saying about the rest of the market. But, you know, over the last year, we've seen more big breweries in Oregon, you know, the Bridgeports of the world or the Full Sails of the world. Even Deschutes has a cream ale that they're dabbling in. So more people are dabbling in that category, which ultimately brings more awareness to the category and
yeah.
hopefully allow people to find Kiwanda and you know, taste the difference.
Well, if they taste like this, I welcome
it
them back.
It's definitely a difference.
Yeah.
Now, Darren, you mentioned that they couldn't bring the grains with them when they came to this country. What yeast did they bring? What yeast was used to make this cream ale?
We use 1056.
Okay.
So, clean ale yeast that gives lager-like flavors, which, you know, for these ale guys, that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to emulate elements of the lager profile, specifically
yeah.
Pilsners.
Mm-hmm.
And so the original cream ales were fermented using their ale yeast, and then they would... after primary, they'd rack them into cold conditioning and age them like a lager beer.
So
very nice.
What about your hop schedule? You've gotten a lot of things out of the Mountain Hood here. You've gotten bitterness, you've gotten some peppery stuff, and you've got a lot of floral in it. So
mm-hmm.
how are you doing that?
We have one dose of hops at Whirlpool.
Oh, big one?
Oh, no kidding.
Nice.
One dose of hops.
Was it always that way, or did you sort of change to that?
Nope.
What?
It's been that way for Almost 20 years.
Okay.
You were hot bursting 20 years ago?
That a boy.
You're the man, Darren.
He is the man.
Awesome.
So tell us about that, why you chose to do that and what it does.
Well, I think batch number one and batch number two, I did put a really small bittering dose in.
Yeah, I think most people.
And the beer came out a little too bitter, and I felt like it just didn't add very much with the large Whirlpool edition that I was putting in. And so, you know, over the course of the first few batches, I just whittled that away until it was nothing. And lo and behold, mm-hmm. we were still getting 25 IBUs, and we were getting the floral aroma that I wanted, and getting plenty of hop flavor. Because, of course, hop flavor is largely a product of the hop aroma.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So we were getting a lot of isomerization and bitterness units just from a Whirlpool edition. So very early on, that became the standard operating procedure for this beer. And I can't tell you how many times over the years I've had, you know, enthusiastic homebrewer call me up, send me an email, whatever, wanting to know how can I make some Kiwanda cream ale at home. So I'll tell these homebrewers, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
And then they say, no, that's not what you do.
you're messing with us.
Yeah.
You're lying to me because you don't want to tell me your real secret.
Right. Well. Yeah.
You know, it's actually not a secret. I've been talking about it for 20 years, and you know, people just choose not to believe me, but that's okay.
That is okay. Well, but now people are doing that with all sorts of beers, right? In fact, the Session IPA, you know, thing that's happening now, it's a lot, American Pale Ale, I think, has moved that direction where everyone's just putting it all in the end. Although still using some bittering additions, I think.
Yeah, I think you
typically
have to.
Well,
yeah.
Are you?
But Darren didn't on this. So.
Are you finding that you're having to? Well, you've been doing it for so long that most homebrewers are really kind of hesitant about throwing in a lot of hops at the end.
I've done a lot of money.
I've done exactly.
Oh, I see.
I've done it before, just an experiment. And mm-hmm. it turned out great.
Yeah.
But when you've got this huge
little
amount of hops.
Your hop bill's better than your green bill.
You just got to throw this thing in there. you're a little hesitant.
Yeah. A little nerve-wracking.
So,
well, it helps in a commercial brewery to have a Whirlpool designed to work correctly.
Oh.
And to have, you know, a nice big plate and frame heat exchanger to cool off your wort.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two important things that are often really hard to replicate home brewing.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it takes an hour to cool off your wort, you're not really getting positive flavor changes while that hot wort sits around for an hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Actually cooling off.
A lot of home brewers, it's overnight and things like that. Even
That eliminates Whirlpool hopping, I think.
So that's a good point, Darren. So getting it, you know, cooled down fast so it's not sitting there is one of the keys.
Yeah, and everything, all the volatiles don't go away.
Okay.
So what do you think the maximum would be, Darren? Like 30 minutes, or could you go 45? When do you think the diminishing...
Maximum for what?
The Whirlpool knockout. What would be too long? You think, over 30 minutes or over 45 minutes? Or?
Well, we target 20-minute knockouts
20 minutes.
At Pelican.
And that's on a 30 barrel? Or until
that's
a lot of heat.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Got a big heat
and
exchanger.
On some of the bigger beers, that'll stretch to maybe a 30-minute knock.
Wow, so you must have a dual.
Okay.
Do you have a dual stage chiller?
I'm sorry.
I was asking, do you have a dual stage chilling? Do you have like cold liquor tank and a glycol cooler?
No, we just have a cold liquor tank,
cold liquor.
And we run our cold liquor at 35 degrees, and that's plenty of cooling power
for a 30 barrel batch. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got another beer in our glass I'd like to talk about, too, so we don't run out of time. We got four beers we want to make sure we get to today. So in our glass right now, we also have the Tsunami Stout on Nitro here at the Hop Grenade. Is it always on Nitro, or is that just what we got?
Our standard version.
That's what you got.
Okay, cool.
Hey, thanks for that.
Yeah, go ahead, Ryan. So it's there's two different versions.
You made that
happen. Standard version is what
we have, the regular Tsunami Stout, which is in our core lineup in 22-ounce bottles. And then we do a special Nitro version of that as well.
Cool. All right, so we have the special version, Darren, in my glass. Also a fantastic tasting beer. Tell us about this one.
Well, Tsunami Stout is actually one of the beers that we opened the brewery with. So it's even more ancient to the lineage than Kiwanis Cream Ale.
Okay, nice.
As it were.
Well, great.
Just like tasty.
So it was designed as a foreign style stout, as an enthusiastic home brewer and beer aficionado way back in the day. If you wanted a tasty stout, there was largely one choice, and it came from Ireland. And I always enjoyed the stronger bottled version of Guinness. And
me too.
I wanted to create something like that, but showing off our own sensibilities and our own raw materials. So Tsunami Stout was designed as a foreign style stout, and we use three different roasted grains in that in order to really create that depth of complexity in the roast profile.
It is deep, man.
We use quite a bit of flaked barley to really enhance the viscosity and the foam stability of the beer. And then we use Magnum and Willamette hops to give just a hint of Northwest flavor there.
Okay.
My eyes are crossed here.
Go ahead.
It's got all this flavor, but I don't get all that alcohol. What's the ABV in this beer, Darren?
That's about 7%.
It's so drinkable.
Yeah.
And it's nice. All the flavor of the Russian Imperial Stout, all that overhead.
Without the beating you down with the alcohol.
When you're done.
That's true. And
the alcoholic beatdown will happen later.
Okay, good. Well, look, I want it to happen eventually.
Breaker, yeah. You're done.
That's because of the
I'm still going.
Yeah. Is there... there's a little smoke malt flavor to me. But I don't think there's smoke malt in it. But I taste just a little smoky. In fact, I almost want to call it out as peat malt, which I typically hate.
Of the bacon.
But the little bit that is in here, again, I'm
nope.
None of that.
You're one for two, man.
That's fine. But I'm still tasting. I'm tasting that bacon flavor that in this case I really like because it's tiny. Again, it's just a subtle thing.
The flaked barley really dries it out quite nice.
Yeah,
and so
the roast profile is roasted barley, so that's an unmalted barley that's been very deeply kilned, like 700 SRM.
Okay,
and then a black patent malt, which of course is malted, and it's also kilned to a very high level, on average probably 600-700 SRM.
Okay,
and then a dark chocolate malt, which clocks in somewhere around 500 SRM. So you have dark chocolate flavors from that chocolate malt. You get French roast, espresso, coffee-like
like cold pressed coffee.
Black patent malt and the roasted barley. And then that hint of char is probably what you're sensing as a smoke. But it's actually the roasted barley.
Okay.
And it's because it has none of the malt sweetness coming in. It's just a straight char flavor.
I see.
And a little bit goes a long ways.
Yeah. Do you mind what percentage of the bill is that? Because it must just be tiny.
it is one third of the roast component.
Okay.
And the roast component in some is about 12%.
I see.
So
okay.
About 4% of.
I was going to say 5.
The grain bill.
I was.
But because it's a low yielding malt, as a percentage of extract, is probably even lower than that.
Wow. Okay. The combination is great. And again, so now that you point out the flavor, I actually like it afterward when people point out the flavors.
He told us the levers he has to pull.
Yeah.
And then we're tasting now in the
beer. Yeah, because then I can go, oh, yeah, there's the chocolate, there's the coffee. Yeah. Like, you can start to pick it out all separate.
He's been helping nards like us for 20 years.
Yes, that's right.
this is not uncharted territory for him, you know?
Yeah. What's the yeast on this? The same English ale yeast?
1056.
It's the 1056.
Oh, wow.
Is that kind of a house yeast for you guys? Or just,
it is.
Yeah, okay. See, this one, I think has the English yeast flavor, right? And the other one has that kind of lager flavor that we were, of course, what he's going for. So yeah, that's interesting to me, the two completely different beers from a yeast profile.
Yeah, it doesn't seem as dry. I mean, it's not as dry.
Yeah,
but I think all that malt hides that, helps with that.
Yeah,
and so it's interesting how you can work the yeast and work the recipe to get what you want out of the same yeast.
Yeah.
Now for a dark beer, this is very low acidic bite.
Yes, totally.
Now, what do you do to the water? What water do you use, and how do you make that work with this beer?
Our water profile. In both Pacific City and in Tillamook, is exceedingly soft. Mm-hmm. There's very, very little by way of either temporary or permanent hardness, and it's pH neutral, so it's very easy to work with in that regard. And our treatment is carbon filtration and run it through a UV.
Oh, really? A UV?
What's the UV for?
The UV is just to make sure that since you strip any chlorine out of the water, that you hit it with UV disinfectant before it distributes to the building.
Okay.
So that your water is extremely low count.
Do you not raise the alkalinity for the stop?
Nope. Huh? Not necessary.
Okay.
Tasty, I think we should open a brewery next door. They hit the water lottery.
I'd love to live on the beach.
Yeah. Right near the beach.
Great location.
I'd be down with that.
Great water.
Only for the chicks.
And just one more question about the yeast, too. Between the two beers.
Nothing wrong with that?
Do you ferment the 1056 at different temperatures in these two beers?
We do not.
It's the same temperature.
Yeah, and keep it at the same temp.
Do you mind telling us what that is? Because we can buy that yeast as homebrewers.
56 Fahrenheit.
56, that you said?
66 Fahrenheit, yes.
Yeah, okay. 66, yeah. Man, they're both great.
Yeah.
How do you like that? You're a stout guy, JP.
I am a stout guy. I like that complex thing. Like Darren, I love that foreign extra stout, the Guinness in the bottle.
Yeah.
Very different than the Guinness in the can, right? Mm-hmm. Or the pre-widget bottle. Right?
Yeah.
That little shot of rum was a great, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a great flavor combination. It tasted a lot like this because you get a lot of those deeper flavors from the rum.
Yeah.
The Guinness does pretty good job on the roast. This is kind of the best of both worlds. I really enjoy it.
And for me, a lot of times, being on nitro can smooth it out a little too much.
Yeah.
It didn't do that with this. There's still plenty of body and I always hate to use the word sweetness, but there's some of those sweet characters like the coffee and the chocolate that it didn't even smooth out too much.
I agree with you. I think there's very few beers that can be nitrogenated and still hold up. I would like to try this side by side with a non-nitrogen version, just to see what it's really all about. Yeah. But this is very, very, very pleasant.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah,
it could take the CO2, get a little sharp.
Yeah,
and
yeah, like I wonder
easily.
I wonder how that would play with the kind of the roasted grains that are coming through that kind of more bitter profile.
A little bit, but yeah. this has a lot of room to play.
Mm-hmm. It's got more like roast flavor than bitterness. Yeah. Like, it's just like roast.
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
A char, you know, like
yeah, the after.
You're getting smoke, but really it's like with the aftermath of a fire.
You're after the taste in your palate, the flavors in your mouth after you take a sip, like 5 minutes. I had my last sip like 5 minutes ago, and I still taste this wonderful, it almost tastes like wort.
Oh yeah,
but not in a bad way. Like we say, worty, like an under fermented kind of a thing.
Yeah,
but you know those kind of pure flavors you get when you taste your wort sample, and there's kind of that pure roastiness with some
like a naked.
Toast, yeah, some
you get to the malts. The malts are right there available.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I get what you're
like
saying.
in my mouth.
Yeah,
yeah.
Love hearing about what's in your mouth, JP.
Sure, sure you do. You like feeling it better, but that's a different story. That's another podcast.
Not over and over again, though.
Well, we've got more beer to try if Darren will put up with us a little longer. Can we take a quick commercial break, Darren? Come back and try a couple IPAs?
Okay, we'll do that.
All right. So hang in there. We're going to take just a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to try. We got a double IPA to try. We've got an IPA. And honestly, I got to try the Bohemian Pilsner we have, too. So hang in there. It's the session. We'll be right back with Pelican.
You're listening to the Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Hey guys, what'll it be?
I'm not sure. What do you recommend?
A lot of people seem to like the Hefeweizen.
Is that a German Hefeweizen or more of an American-style wheat beer?
I'm not sure, but I can give you a taste.
Okay, great.
The Cicerone Certification Program certifies and educates beer professionals in order to elevate the beer experience for consumers. Unfortunately, not every bar is staffed with certified beer servers who can guide their customers through a beer list.
Here you go, guys. Let me know what you think of the Hefeweizen.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely more of an American wheat. But I can hardly tell because this beer just smells like sour butter. I wonder how long it's been since they cleaned the draft lines.
Yeah, and look at the bubbles on the side of the glass. It's filthy.
Somebody should tell these guys about the Cicerone program.
For sure. How about we head somewhere else for another beer?
Your server should give beer the same respect you do. Request quality. The Cicerone certification program offers 4 levels of beer certification, in-person classes, and course books for beer professionals. Check them out at Cicerone.org. The Cicerone Certification Program. We know beer.
With over 20 years of experience making world-class craft beer and more than 100 gold medals in international competitions, Moylan's Brewing Company is not just a pretty face in craft beer. Just ask Brendan Moylan.
What do we got here? The beer of the hour. Moylan's, gotta love that big M. It's like a sign of awesomeness. It's got an extra kick to it. Let's pour this bad boy. Oh, Moylan's. The end of the night when the kids are finally in bed, the wife's in bed, nobody's bothering your ass anymore. That's Moylan's time. Moylan's is for you.
Yeah!
It's to help you out.
Yeah.
It helps me out.
What?
Well, because it's freaking awesome. Northern California brewed. It's brewed with love.
With love?
Oh, yeah. Tremendous. And it's always best where?
Moylan's.
You gotta try it on tap at Moylan's in Novato. They're friggin' awesome. Not only because I own the brewery, because I love the beer.
Cheers.
Boom.
Kilt Lifter Scotch Ale takes big beers to a whole new level with rich malt balanced perfectly with delicate hops and now comes in 4 pack tall boy cans so you can take the party on the go. Or come to the brewery, take a tour, and try any of Moylan's fresh creations right from the source. Check them out at Moylan's.com.
Your support of the Brewing Network means everything to us. We couldn't produce shows without you. And we love giving you something extra for that support, like Brew Your Own magazine. You already know it's a great brewing magazine full of recipes, equipment how-tos, discussions of beer styles, and brewing techniques. Whether you're new to brewing and just starting out or you're an old pro, you'll always learn something from the articles in Brew Your Own. Plus, there are amazing special issues like plans for building a Brutus 10 system, 250 classic clone recipes, and the Homebrewer's Answer Book. Brew Your Own magazine and BYO.com are awesome resources for any brewer, whether for yourself or as a gift. When you subscribe or resubscribe from the Brewing Network homepage, you directly support programs like this. Get a great magazine and support the Brewing Network. Subscribe to Brew Your Own right from thebrewingnetwork.com.
Army, have you heard the latest at Hop Tech? Since Hop Tech has doubled in size after a huge expansion, Jade and Roberto can stock even more of the best quality homebrewing supplies and equipment. Over 60 kick-ass varieties of hops and malts, monster truckloads of quality brewer's yeast, including White Labs, Y yeast, and multiple dry yeasts. They even have all grain systems from Grainfathers and Ruby Street Brew Systems, thanks to Jade, the brand new all-grain brewer. And don't forget about their 10% discount to all BN Army members. Jade and Roberto are waiting for you and all of your brewing questions over at hoptech.com. HopTech, totally not sucking since 1983.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters, this is Jamel Zanishev, and I love a bold, hoppy beer, one that spits resin in your face and makes you cry, uncle. There are a lot of great hoppy beers out there, but at Heretic, we wanted to make something as bold, dank, and resiny as possible. We use hops at every chance we get, including multiple dry hop additions. The result is Heretic Evil Cousin. This light golden, 8% Imperial IPA has an easy malt character that helps take the edge off the massive bittering. But it takes a backseat to the in-your-face hop character. We make sure this beer finishes dry so the hops can jump out and slam you in the taste buds. If you can't get enough hoppy goodness, Evil Cousin is your cup of tea. Cheers.
You're listening to the Brewing Network. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck.
All right, welcome back to the show, and thanks for hanging out with us. We're still talking to Pelican Brewing Company, of course. Before we move on, and since we're talking so much about beer and recipes and the ingredients, don't forget about our friends over at Beersmith Homebrewing Software. Go to beersmith.com right now. You can get your free 21-day trial of the software. It works on a Mac or a PC, and he's got video tutorials to show you how to use the whole thing. I pretty much guarantee that it does everything you need, and probably more. We've had a lot of pro brewers come in here that still use it, too. But you don't have to take my word for it because you get a free 21-day trial. Go to beersmith.com right now. Hit the download button and check it out. I'm pretty certain that you won't regret it. All right. So we still have Darren and Ryan. Ryan's in the studio with us here, and we were talking beer at the break. We got Darren, the brewmaster, calling us from Oregon. And Darren, we've got two beers in front of us now. I want to make sure we get through and then a third one on its way, too, for me anyway. But we've got, all right, on tap here at the Hop Grenade, your single IPA, which is the Umbrella IPA. So we're going to start with that. And then after that, we've got your double IPA, which is the Beak Breaker. So would you tell us about the Umbrella IPA, please?
Sure. The Umbrella is started out as a single hop beer. Featuring the Ella Hop from Australia. We were trying to create more of a new world, new school type IPA, super lean body, pale color, very aromatic, and then that real clean, dry finish with the hop bitterness, but without a lot of residual extract to distract from that. That was the concept for Umbrella.
I think you nailed it, by the way, based on that description.
Yeah, totally.
At the two, and I don't want to go too far into the double yet because we'll have questions just about the single. So it's kind of why I jumped in there. But I do want to mention, just comparing the two, very different color in both of them. So you got the light, you know, I wouldn't say straw color on the single IPA, but lighter than maybe some people are used
honey,
to.
Maybe.
Kind of a honey color. Yeah. Kind of, you know, as a reference from some other breweries that we talk about, I think Evil Cousin from Heretic is close to this color. What about Blind Pig? Is Blind Pig yellowish like that?
Yeah, it's a little orange. Yeah, it's orange.
A little
more,
it's like
more towards orange even, yeah.
Which, by the way, to me is a good indication usually of an IPA that I'm going to like. When it's a little lighter in the color like that.
Well, they're drier, typically.
Yeah, a little drier. The beer, it smells and tastes great. It's not overwhelming. It's got enough. I need a better word than stupid sweetness, right?
Well, what kind of sweetness?
I mean, body is always a nice word, but what I'm talking about is like when it's, of course, it's balanced, and we can talk about that, but it does have enough to.
No, but I mean, like, you take the word sweetness, and then you go, and you focus on it, and you go, well, what kind of sweetness? How much sweetness? So you go, like, right, malt. Well, what kind of malt? Okay. Toasty malt? Bready malt? What kind of bread? Cracker?
Speaking of malts, right, I've got the data sheet or the glossy for this beer in front of me here.
Yeah.
And the malts are Two Row, Gold Pils, Vienna malt, and some plain sugar. Darren, what percentages are we looking at on this?
So the base malt Two Row is I'm going to say that's probably about 85% of extract. The Gold Pils is maybe 7% of extract, and then white sugar is the remaining bit of extract there. So
why do you add the Pilsner? What are you looking for in that 7% Pilsner?
That's the Gold Pils.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Vienna malt.
It's a Vienna malt.
And so, yeah, so that's driving the color a little bit in the golden direction.
Oh, I see.
From a straight yellow. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, it brings just a little bit of toastiness to the malt profile that helps underpin the really bright, tropical, gooseberry-type hop flavors that the Ella delivers.
Nice. That's a signature malt then, with the signature hop. That's excellent. Thank you.
Ella hops are the signature hop for that one.
More other than just how great the beer is, you know how you can tell Darren's been doing this for so long is that when you just ask what percentage is, a lot of times what we get is, oh, I wish I had the sheet in front
two
of me.
Two sacks of this,
maybe
12 sacks of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Darren's like, oh, that 86% here.
0.9.
Yeah, it's a difference. This beer is wonderful. It's fresh tasting, right? So we have it on tap here at the Hop Grenade. That's how we're tasting it, by the way. It wasn't bottles that were brought from the brewery.
Yeah. It's excellent fresh.
There's anything wrong with that.
No, there's not at all. But that's actually why I'm bringing it up, is I wanted to ask Ryan how else this is available, so that other people can get it, because this version of it right here is fantastic.
Yeah, no, we have it available in 22-ounce bottles around selected bottle shops in the area. I can name a few if you'd like.
We have listeners all over the country, so even if you could just send them to where they could. Yeah. Do you have, like, a beer finder on the website?
We will.
Okay, cool.
We will. So you saw the last website.
So what is your distribution footprint? Where can our listeners find your beers?
We're predominantly in the Northwest.
Cool.
We're heavily in Oregon, and then we work in Washington and Idaho, and we just started in Northern California on a limited basis about a year ago.
Thank you for that.
And then we do some beer to Hawaii on a limited basis as well, and same with Utah. So we really look at the West Coast is kind of where we want to live. Just the beach world and having one of the terms that we use is born at the beach, and that works for Oregon, Washington, and California,
and Hawaii.
Yeah, perfect.
Exactly. I do want to open a hop grenade in Hawaii. It's a dream of mine.
Very good.
You'll be my first phone call, right?
Very good. Very good. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
He wants an allocation.
So, you know what the problem that I have with this IPA? It's the one problem I have with it.
Okay, what is it?
Really? You get one?
I have one problem with it. It is so easy drinking. It's one of the reasons I like Blind Pig so much, actually, is that it's just such a...
It never wears your palate out.
It's big on flavor.
Everything's there.
There's tons of things happening. But yeah, just that's too easy to drink.
It's great
problem.
For the Tinder crowd.
Yeah, right?
Great for the Tinder crowd.
You name it Tinder IPA?
Tinder IPA.
Darren, I'm going to have pints of this at my place afterwards. Work. That's the problem.
One of the working shop names for this beer when it was in development was the Sneaker Wave.
Say it again.
So one of the working titles for this beer as we were developing it in-house was the Sneaker Wave.
The Sneaker Wave.
Sneaker Wave because of that very quality of delivering flavor and you just, you know, unless you look at the label,
right,
you have no idea that it's almost 7.5% alcohol.
That would be a good name for it. Yeah, it's just real, and that's, it's a compliment, really. People should be responsible for themselves and
of
look
course
at the label and all that.
Yeah.
But that's, it's a compliment to go, yeah, that one will knock me over before I know it because I'll have three of them. It's such an easy drinker.
If it's hard to drink and you have to think twice about ordering another one, then I guess I haven't done my job very well.
Thank you for saying that, because we kind of say that on the show. We try not to say it directly, but that's the truth, right? Like this, and in fact, I'm going to go even further. In some ways, it's your job to educate the consumers through the beer of what they really want. Because they go and they taste other IPAs that are a little sweeter, and they kind of beat up the palate, and they think that's what they want. For one, because it's what everybody talks about, and
right,
two, because
right,
it's something, it's bold enough to give them something to think about. But then they would taste this and go, wait, no, that's really what I want. That's what I meant I wanted. Does that make sense? Like, it's almost your job, not only to do it this well, but it's like your duty to teach people who don't know it can be done this well, that they're wrong about some of those other IPAs. That's what I mean.
Well, you know, it's never good for sales if your beer is the one and done.
No, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Ryan here would not be your friend,
yeah,
Darren.
Well, especially on the IPA level. I mean, you know, like an RIS or a barley wine, sure, totally. Those beers, I think, are designed for that.
Yeah.
But something as in the mainstream beer culture as IPA, you only order one of those and you're on to something else and you've failed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. The way to sell beer is to have, you know, people order second pints.
This,
and if it doesn't wear on the palate, it's going to be a beer you can do that with.
Totally, yeah.
This is one of the very best IPAs I've had this year. I think it's really good.
Well, thank you.
It's great.
Yeah, thanks for sharing it with us. It's just kind of, it's my style. I just think it's right there.
It's not cloudy.
It's not cloudy. It's got that
yeah,
going for it. Yeah.
Yeah. When are you going to start adding flour and apple juice?
Do you you filter all your beers, Darren, or?
Most of them, yes.
You do. Okay.
Tsunami Stout does not get clarified through the filter.
A good call.
Why would you?
That's fair.
You know, it can be done, but part of the appeal of Tsunami Stout is the textural component in the mouthfeel.
Yeah, sure.
And
yeah,
when you run through a filter, even a well-designed clarification program where you're filtering as gently as possible, in a beer like Tsunami Stout, I can tell the difference between filtered and unfiltered in terms of the mouthfeel and the texture. And I just want to deliver as much of that delicious viscosity and goodness in Tsunami Stout,
yeah,
as we possibly can. And running it through the filter is kind of counterproductive to that, and it takes extra time, and the customer will never see the difference anyway. So,
right,
it, you know, it's like lose, lose, lose instead of win, win, win.
Yeah, I like your thinking there, Darren. Yeah.
Well, and it's a good example of how, you know, everything's not the same across the board. All right, like we can come in here and say all beers should be fined or filtered or something. It's kind of easy to say that, but the truth is that's not really true. I think, you know, Darren makes a compelling argument where it's just diminishing returns and maybe even a negative result, I think,
oh,
is the point.
Sure.
So
yeah,
it's not the same across all beers, and you should think about each and every single beer and not just, you know, you don't just go through a process that's the same
that's
for
why
everything.
That's why they call them brewmasters.
That's true.
You have to make JP
well,
happy.
Well, I don't want to say that the Tsunami Stout is not clarified because we use
sure, findings
on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Boom.
And that is important because if we don't do that, then we have yeast carryover into the finished package.
Ah.
Then you have
yeast
paralysis, you have brothy, meaty flavors, and you know, I like meaty flavors in meat here.
Yeah. And then you complement that with a beer.
Right.
Yeah. all right, that's another excellent point. What kind of findings do you like to use?
We use gelatin.
Just gelatin, okay.
How do you prep the gelatin? Some people just throw it in. Some people hydrate it first. What do you do?
Yeah, the gelatin gets hydrated in 180 degree water. We give it a short contact time to make sure that everything's pasteurized, but not too long because you want everything to remain liquid. And then we set up an external pump loop to the tank that's being dosed, and dose it in through the pump, and then recirculate for about 10-15 minutes. And depending on which tank it's going into and how tall the tank is, that kind of determines what the pump setting is to make sure that those findings are fully incorporated into the tank. And then typically we've got the beginnings of some pretty decent results in 24 hours and really quite a bit of sedimentation in 36 to 48.
So it's quick.
And what temperature is all this happening at?
Oh, it's right at 33 Fahrenheit.
Gotcha. So now, this sounds like another device I think you've got there called the Hopinator. Is this the Gelinator? Is that what you're doing when you're recirculating this back in there?
Well, we actually use modified corny cans for dosing gelatin in.
I see.
The Hopinator is a little bit too large
too much force
for dosing gelatin on the vessels that we have these days.
Let's talk about the Hopinator. What's the whole thing? Tell us how that works and what the principle is.
The Hopinator is a piece of equipment that we use for dosing dry hops into fermenters. And it does a number of things for us. Number one, it's quite a bit more sanitary than a 5-gallon bucket dumped in the top of a tank by some guy
with a head cold.
Oh, by the lowest paid guy in the place. Yeah.
Okay.
There's so many tanks that need to be dry hopped that you can't simply delegate it to the lowest paid guy.
Right.
But it never happens.
It's also.
Who wants
There's
to get
also
up there?
A safety benefit because the same guy that's got 40 pounds of hops and a couple 5-gallon buckets at the top of a ladder 20 feet off the ground, that's not exactly the safest situation. So thankfully, we've never had an incident. Uh-huh. And with the Hopinator, it's unlikely that particular kind of incident is going to happen going forward because we've just kind of removed a major hazard.
So this is the ground floor thing you're doing, of course.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. OSHA, all the way.
And then the other thing, it's a big enhancement to quality and utilization.
It's more efficient.
So when you open up the top of a fermenter, you're letting atmosphere in and CO2 out. There's a gas exchange even, if the hatch is at the top of the tank, you're still going to shoot some oxygen and some atmosphere into that tank as you pour hops in. So
sure.
You're necessarily increasing your dissolved oxygen level in finished beer or maturing beer, and that's really not what we want to do. So what the Hopinator allows us to do is to pre-purge all of those lines, to pre-purge the vessel, pour hops in, and then purge again. There's a port on it where we can measure the dissolved oxygen of the inside of that vessel. And when it reaches specification, then we can introduce the beer and begin homogenizing the hops into the beer.
Okay, so you've got a vessel that's a what a volume capacity for beer? A barrel or something, or two barrels?
No, it's probably about 4 to 5 barrels in capacity.
Because the 4 or 5 barrels, it sits on the floor next to the fermenter. You put hops in. You open a hatch. You put the hops in. Then you purge it.
Purge a bunch
until it's down to like a minimum O2,
which is measured.
And then you bring the beer in. And then do you like grind this up, or do you slurry it, or what happens next?
It gets slurried with an impeller.
An impeller built into this unit.
What does that mean, Tasty? That means it just
it's like
kind
a,
of ground
so you heard
up
of a mash mix. You heard of a mash mixer. This is a hop mixer.
It's a big old paddle.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And that's in this vessel. You're okay.
Yeah. It sits on the floor next to the fermenter.
Okay. All right.
All right. So then
so
you bring the
big
beer
old
in.
Paddle hooked up to a motor
And while we're purging, we'll run that motor really slowly, and all of the atmosphere that's entrained within the pellets, as we can purge all that out. And then we keep that running as you introduce beer, and the pellets begin to break apart and go back into a hot powder, and you gently run that paddle so that you're creating this hop slurry. The Hopinator has a built-in pump that's a specific pump designed for high pumping capacity but very low shear forces, so that we're not beating up the hops
or the
not,
beer.
Extracting any unwanted polyphenol compounds from the hop matter. And so we'll introduce beer, we'll run the paddles until it's formed a consistent slurry, and then we'll essentially just pump that right back out into the fermenter and pump it in so that it rouses within the fermenter well, and then we'll introduce beer back into the Hopinator, turn the impellers back on briefly, and essentially rinse with beer.
I see.
Nice.
And so that I might know the difference between the paddles being gentle and the pump being gentle enough, if they weren't, and you were getting some of these polyphenols that you didn't want, some other things, it would is that when it starts to taste vegetal? And
yes.
Okay.
It starts to get that vegetative harshness. You get astringency. Hops are full of astringent tannic compounds. And part of what we as brewers do is manage the process in such a way that we extract the stuff we want and we leave behind the stuff we don't want.
Okay.
Because, you know, I don't want you to pick up a glass of Umbrella and right at the swallow think, did I just get a whole bunch of grape skin tannins
right
down my throat?
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
Now, Darren, you mentioned better efficiency. How many fewer hops does it take with the Hopinator?
In the case of Umbrella, we actually reduced the dry hop charge by 30%. We went from 2 hop doses to 1, and we got more aroma as a result.
Well, that's a lot of money.
fewer raw materials,
yeah,
and greater aromatic intensity on the finished beer.
Now, before you use the Hopinator, do you drop the yeast, or is that not an issue?
Yes. You have to
drop
it. In our brewery, we need to harvest yeast before any manner of dry hopping.
I understand. Okay. Makes sense.
And how long have you been using the Hopinator?
The Hopinator is less than a year old.
It's
a fairly recent piece of equipment for us.
Got it. I just was wondering if this is another one of those things that Darren's been using for 20 years that nobody knew about.
He's like, no one asked.
Whirlpool hopping.
Yeah. No one ever asked.
Nobody
on the
said.
Beach. Right. No one ever asked.
Yeah, I'm riding you to the beach.
Well, okay, so the double IPA, the Imperial IPA, actually is how you have it listed. The Beak Breaker is just another great tasting beer.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You liked it. So now, Doc, you've been getting into some of the hoppier beers lately.
They're changing.
They are, right?
They're totally changing. It used to be just bitter, and alcohol,
yeah,
and trying to get them dry. And that was all the IPAs. Everybody wanted. You got some hot flavor in there and this and that, but now they're rounded. They're sweet.
Yeah.
They're very floral, stone fruity kind of stuff. And it's over the top. It just tastes better.
Yeah.
And I'm not always, my whole thing was always, I just don't like killing my palate.
Yeah,
with
and,
one beer,
and with a lot of sharp flavors and different things like that. So, in with this example, with the Beak Breaker, there's nothing very harsh or sharp about it. I know it's a double IPA, so it does hit me there. For my style of drinking, I won't drink 3 pints of this like I will the IPA, but I would certainly drink a pint or two because nothing's really beating up my palate. Not a harsh bitterness, some fruitiness to it. Is there raw sugar in this one too, Darren?
No, there is not.
It's interesting that you use it in the IPA, but not this one.
So what's the ABV on this one?
9.5.
Yeah,
and it's an all malt beer.
I could have put 9.6.
Wow. Yeah. I thought it'd have some sugar in it to be this dry.
Why sugar in the umbrella, but not in the Beak Breaker?
Different beers. So the umbrella is
because I wanted to.
Well, that's probably it.
You know, it's an IPA that's designed with that stealth mode.
Yeah.
ABV content.
Okay.
So even though I know better, on the palate, it drinks to me like a beer that's 5.5, maybe 6%.
Yeah.
But if I just approached it not knowing, I wouldn't guess, oh, wow, that's a 7.4% beer.
Agreed.
With the Beak Breaker, we were really, wait a minute. The Beak is a brand new product, and that might actually have some sugar in it, too.
Reason I'm surprised is because it's also another pretty dry beer.
It's dry for being all malt. That's pretty hard to do.
And for being a 9% imperial IPA.
You might want to check back.
So what do you mash at? You must have mashed like extremely low to get this thing to dry out, right?
We mash it low. Not the lowest of the beers we produce, but fairly low.
Turning towards that side, yeah. Uh-huh.
By the way, it also doesn't taste like 9%.
No, it doesn't. No. It doesn't. Well, you get the dryness, but you get all that malt flavor, too, which is a hard balance to make.
I say, damn you, Darren, with your with your easy drinking high
You're
alcohol
evil.
Beers. You're, You're doing too good a job over there.
No, I taste the
this one will sneak up on you too.
I'm loving the way IPAs are going.
Yeah.
Into the more flavorful, less kick you in the face bitter.
Right.
So I could be a convert pretty soon.
You are my only hope. You're my holdout.
Doc was your holdout on IPAs.
He was my guy. Well, you're not being my guy anymore.
Shit changes, man.
Yeah.
That's right.
Your shit's gone from firm to lumpy.
Oh, sorry. Whatever. It's like that teenage movie. You know, we're just growing apart.
Yeah.
It's not me, it's you.
Mostly you.
No, well, shit.
Darren, I have my backup beer is your Bohemian Pilsner. I think I see Justin has the same beer. Yeah.
So I just sipped that, too. I just took my first sip, and I did, as we're running out of time, I wanted to bring it up quickly, though. Yeah. So we're all Pilsner fans here.
Yeah,
so can you tell us just quickly about your Bo Pils?
Sure. This beer was designed, actually the whole concept for the beer was suggested by one of our rock star sales staff who works the Portland market, a gal named Maya Chung. And so she came up with this idea for a beer that she just really presented and sold it to me perfectly.
Cool.
And she didn't know that I kept my teeth on German Pilsner, so
nice.
She was really singing the right song to me, and she didn't even realize it.
I like it.
But that's why it's called Chinese Sauce. She came up with the name. We had this whole conversation over a course of weeks and months about the look, the smell, the flavor, the finish, all of the attributes of the beer as she was imagining it, and then I would kind of answer and give her some feedback, and then we had a few meetings where she came down to the brewery and we rubbed hops and we chewed on malts and we had a whole conversation about what are the malt profile that we want and which one of these base malts. And so It was a really fun project for me, and I think it was a good one for her because she's coming from the sales side, and bringing her into the brew house and the beer, I'm really happy with it. We used Weirmann's Barca Pils. Barca is an heirloom barley variety. Just fantastic flavor on the malt bill from this beer. And then we played around with a lot of ideas on hops, but we ended up just going classic. So all the flavor, aroma, finishing hops are all check size.
Okay. It works. So, that's a great
beer.
Great
beer.
Someone needs to pat her on the back for us also.
Right? Give her a low hug.
How far into the process did you tell her, by the way, I really know and love German beers, after she had been pouring her heart out to you, all the work she had done about the beer? When did you actually tell her you knew everything about the style and that you love it?
I haven't told her that.
She'd still leave her hanging. I like
it. You've been making it for 20 years. Good for you. Didn't tell anybody.
You sound like a great collaborator, Darren.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds
If you ever want to do one, let me know, okay? Just say tasty@thebrewingnetwork.com. We'll...
There you go.
That sounds awesome. I mean, you know, how many, you know, most of us here have brewed with other commercial brewers.
Sure.
But, I mean, how many times have you heard about people getting into the malt room, eating the malt, tasting it, and having the brewer, like, talk about what you want to do? Rubbing the hops and all. I mean, we did that at Sierra Nevada a little bit, like the hops for sure, but the malt we didn't really do. We just kind of went with, you know, they're Sierra Nevada. They know what they're doing, right? So we trusted that, but there's that element of you know the heart of the beer comes from the person who has the idea, right?
And so
that sounds like a really cool thing.
And it's just
it sounds like we got to go up there
really
brew.
Well, and we ended up making that the you know, to get into the Oregon Brewers Festival, which in these parts is kind of a big deal.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bigger festival.
Yeah.
With a few people who show up.
right.
And one of the things that OBF likes these days is they like to see a beer that's produced just for the event.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, for a smaller festival, that's really hard to do. But for OBF, when, you know, their minimum order is like, I don't know, 25 kegs or something, that fits right into that. I mean, that's fine. That's like an entire batch out of our original brew house.
Yeah.
And so we sent that to OBF this year as an exclusive. And then after the fact, we had a couple more batches in the pipeline so that Maya could go out to all the accounts in Portland and sell the beer that she designed.
Excellent. Wow, that's great.
That is cool. Plus, it just makes her job easy. I mean, you should ask for some of her
She's
pay.
Such a player now that she's got her
she's
own beer.
Like, that old thing? It's just my beer.
We're going to make Ryan a player here. Ryan, you got to do a collaboration here with Darren.
That's right. All right. Well, listen, we're running a little short on time. I want to thank you so much for all your time. This may be kind of a weird thing to say, but I feel like so you guys have been around since '96, making great beers. Darren's been in there doing this.
Yeah.
I feel like though you're about to make it's not you're about to like make a comeback now that you're distributed. You're now a new brewery to look out for. A new brewery that opened in 1996 to look out for. Now that you guys are producing more and distributing a little bit and getting it out in the marketplace, I'm saying that for my listeners, that if you heard about Pelican before, now they're a brewery to watch out for. Because
No shit, they got a an O2 meter on their hopinator.
On their hopinator. Yeah. And just listening to Darren, I think you can tell that he knows what he's doing. And listening to us just talk about these beers, they're all so fantastic. that you're like a new brewery to look out for now, Darren. Yeah. Which is feels weird to say to you, but
yeah, you're such a young man already. Are now you ready?
20 years, so thank you.
I was kind of hoping to see an old brewer in here.
I know. We weren't sure who quite could make it down. But look, if I were Darren, I wouldn't leave the brewery either.
Are you kidding me?
Just sitting on the beach.
Yeah, but that sunset's amazing.
I mean, he doesn't really do any of that. He talks a big game, but really he just surfs all day.
Right.
Right, Darren?
Tell us you do, even if you lie to us.
Yeah, lie to me.
Absolutely, yeah, that's all I do.
Oh, he sets the mash and it gets the morning curl.
Yeah, that's all he really does. Well, look, I know we went a little over time tonight, so I want to thank you, Darren, so much for hanging out with us and talking beer, and Ryan, you also for bringing us the beer here.
Yeah,
and,
man, for sure.
And sharing it with us. I think our listeners are really going to enjoy listening to your perspective, and we enjoy the beer, so thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
And I hope to see you next on the beach, both of you. You don't have to come visit us. We'll come visit you.
Let's go. We'll go up there. We'll brew some beer.
Pacific City.
Well, and the last time I was there was years ago, and I was in the Volkswagen. I had gone to the Oregon Brewers Festival and slept under an underpass for 4 days to go to the damn thing.
Sounds about right.
It's like your other life.
So by the time I got to Pelican, I was a little road weary. But I got some great comfort food, and we just sat there for hours just chilling on the beach. I mean, and by on the beach, I mean in the pub.
But on the beach, right, for sure.
So it genuinely is a good place to go. If you want to check it out, and there's a hotel there too, right?
That's correct, yes.
You can go to yourlittlebeachtown.com and check out all the information that you need to go see him. All right, Darren, thanks again. I appreciate it, brother.
Thank you for having me.
Take care. Have a good night.
Good night.
All right, there you go. Darren and Ryan's here, and we still got beer in front of us. And
yeah, we know it's late where you are.
I'm thinking where I am. Guys, I'm thinking that's going into the list of one of the interviews of the year. One of the ones
I learned a lot and had a great time.
Well, it's one of the ones, and I mean from our listeners. I think it's going to be one of the ones our listeners really look back at for a brewer who just gave information where information was needed. I think
for sure didn't hold anything back and has been around long enough to know what sucks and what, you know, what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of new stuff out there, too, where he was doing things that...
Oh, yeah. I'm going to make a hop in here.
Out of the norm.
Right.
Yeah.
I also like that he was just kind of cut and dry about it. We just put it all in the whirlpool.
Get righteous.
And then when I asked him about it, did that change? He's like, oh, not really. Yeah, we tried it in the bitterness. Didn't work. All Whirlpool.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of stuff our listeners like. Ryan, thanks for bringing them
in. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you having us. Thank you.
No worries. I'm going to finish this Bo Pills.
It's good, right?
And then what?
Have me a good night, I think. Well, these damn sneaky...
the double IPA is
sneaky,
like,
waves, right?
It's so sneaky.
I had to leave that one alone. The double IPA is still in my glass.
Same thing.
Not because it's not great.
I did the same thing. I had to, like,
I've been
off.
Snuck.
Yeah. I had to back
sneaky
up.
Sneaky Pete's, man.
Feel like Snoop Dogg. I had to back up off.
I thought you looked like Snoop Dogg, too. I was like, wait, who's the black guy with the cornrows?
Down.
Yeah. Who's the guy? I was like, who's the guy who murdered Biggie right here? What's going on? What's happening?
The IPA, though, I couldn't resist. Like the butter.
God, yeah.
That one. Umbrella.
I'm going to have another one of those.
It's like Temptation.
Don't call it the butter. What was that about?
I was going to say butterfly.
Okay.
Yeah, not butter.
Butterfly.
It's like Temptation.
I don't know why I would say. The Umbrella. That one I had to finish. That's
good. Butterfly.
Yeah.
Never call a beer butterfly.
No,
never
you're
put
right.
the word butter in a beer name.
Never.
That's
any
bad.
Combination of the word butter.
Fly.
Never, Umbrella IPA. Forgive
it's
me.
Fly.
That one I had to finish.
That was a good beer. Even I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Snuck.
We got to wrap up our Twitter game.
Yes.
We're
doing that right now.
Before we can go.
Oh, geez. All right.
But then what?
And then we're done. Our work here is done.
What? Bevo, are you sure?
Look, we rocked it all into a couple great segments. What
I
else
like the intensity. I like this. Like, hit it hard, hit it short.
You like it?
I like it. Yeah.
See, I'm feeling
we
like
can
it's
do this almost every
I'm
week.
Kind of a short
we
guy
have
anyway.
Been.
Almost every week.
No, Doc, you haven't been here. We have been.
Three times a month.
I don't think anybody's going to complain about you missing the last hour of crap anyway. So yeah,
exactly. I mean, look, if there's a reason to do it,
there's pretty much no crap.
On
this
tap?
Whole show.
No crap on tap here.
We haven't done the,
well, I don't know about that.
We haven't done the Twitter game
There's
yet.
A lot of cloudy IPAs on tap. Here.
Hey.
Anyway, so what about that Twitter game, huh? Let's move things longer.
Can we? Please?
Yeah. Tate's like, great. We were just about to get out of here, and now these two are going to get in a fight.
There hasn't been one in a while. The last fight we got into, I wasn't even here for.
That's true.
True that. So,
come on.
I think you might have lost.
Yeah, that's fucked up, dude. All right.
What was our Twitter game?
Twitter game. Well, as everybody knows by now, North Korea has launched, no pun intended, their first beer festival.
Yes.
With apparently they had liters of beer and pretzels, German-style
like
pretzels.
Supreme liters?
Supreme liters,
of
yeah.
beer, yeah. yeah.
Not imperial gallons.
Not imperial gallons. So it's interesting because apparently they're getting information from other people. They haven't closed off the internet entirely. No. Anyway, so they have their first beer fest, and I think we need to get in on that, capitalize on that, and open a studio there to deliver beer information to the, quote, people.
So the new Brewing Network studio. Ryan, if the Brewing Network studio was in North Korea, would you have attended this event?
No comment.
In other words, no fucking way.
Yeah, you would have been put in jail right now, immediately. Jail.
What's the upside?
A couple of tap handles, come on.
So what's the name of our new studio in North Korea? Is that the Twitter game?
That's it.
All right, what do we get?
Brian G. says, whatever the Supreme Leader tells you to call it.
All right.
It's an accurate answer.
Very appropriate.
Very practical.
Got to get the conditional use permit.
someone called Junk of Pork. Says, it smells like Kimchi Fart Studio. Kimchi Farts, you know.
It's
a rap.
Which, you know, it's a comment. Every time, whenever you're not here, the studio smells like a fart box.
Oh.
I don't know if you noticed.
Do people hold back when I'm here?
I think so. I think you're in here, like, longer. But, like, whenever I'm covering for you and hosting the shows or whenever I come to do Dr. Homebrew, it smells like a fart.
Oh, you mean when you walk, it's not our hosts
No,
here.
No.
It's when you walk in.
Okay, two things.
I see. Because I don't fart in here.
I don't
Neither
fart. I don't fart in here. And in Dr. Homebrew, there's only three of us.
I'm not saying it's.
And you're complaining.
I'm not saying it's the BM
and
show.
I'm not farting. So must
it might be the hop grenade stack.
It's gotta be Brian.
Well, that's what I think JP's saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's
there's a lot of people
stack.
That roll through here.
It's a lot, that's also very
it's
true.
It's part of the office. That's
yes.
a good.
And it's well, hard. Look, I get it. So I never brought it
sure.
up before.
Do you want me to put up a sign?
But this man is very, very accurate.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really a good staff that comes in here and farts. Rather than out there with the,
okay, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Although we have a patio, like they can go outside.
I know, right? Go in the walk-in. Jesus.
We have all of California.
That's true. That is a very rational place.
You need some signage. Some signage.
Jesus.
Wash your hands and fart in the walk-in.
And fart in the walk-in.
Employees must fart in the walk-in at all times.
What is that in Spanish?
I don't know.
Something about frijoles. I have no idea. No Beer Left Behind says we should call it the Supreme Leader of Malted Communication and Beverage Drink.
That's pretty accurate, too.
This is Korean
good.
Translation.
It's all about,
sketchy.
Getting this approved. Yeah. I appreciate this.
Supreme Leader of Malted Communication and Beverage Drink.
Okay. I like it.
Okay. Jeff Gralnick says, Studio Chechnya, because in Chechnya, it feels like North Korea with less radiation and more oppression.
It's true. In Chechnya, we die more often.
Right. Okay. Less oppression in Chechnya. Oppression.
All right.
Mark Wilson says, Studio Left, because there's no rights in North Korea. And he says, I wish I could turn off my dad joke mode. I'm so sorry.
As much as I don't like that joke, it is the most... I know, Bev.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's a bad joke.
I know.
Is when Bevo laughs.
Well, because it's a dad joke, and she's a mop.
I love it. Yeah. Ah, that's great.
How about
she likes Family Circus.
But it is a clever name for a studio.
I do, so.
Family Circus.
Oh, she
does. How about this one?
She reads it every day.
Yeah.
Pee in glass.
Huh?
Pee in glass.
Pee in glass?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's with a
I love it.
Korean
I love it.
Thing.
Let's move on.
With the Korean
not,
thing.
You're not playing.
I know.
You're not playing.
I like Studio Left so far.
Okay. Jason Yates says, shit, Hoppy Seconds. I don't know. I put it in there because it's a beer pun.
All right.
William says, it's still the Brewing Network, but it's sponsored / edited / and the guest is always Kim Jong-un, chairman of the Workers' Party.
Okay.
Oh,
that's
like
accurate.
That one.
Yeah.
And last but not least, Bobby says, Bevo's Double Wide Sad Job Studio, sponsored by Sugar Valley Brewer.
Winner! No. I can't give it to that. There were some other good ones.
Bevo's Double Wide Sad Job Studio.
Double Wide Sad Job Studio. It is
sort of.
Can I get a plaque made for this room that says that?
And honestly, this is that's the thing I was hoping for.
That's not North Korea. That's her.
That's right
her,
now.
Her
How about we just
booth.
Etch it on this big glass?
We're going to put a mirror on that wall behind you.
Right, this is so what I was hoping
gonna
for.
That's not going to win the Twitter game, but that's going to win like something else. That's going to win life. An actual sign.
Yes.
To your left.
I like the first one, which was like whatever.
Whatever the Supreme Leader tells you to call it. Yeah.
That's a good strategy.
It's a survival strategy, if anything.
You want to get approved.
And then I like Studio Left.
Because there's no rights in Korea.
Yeah, those North are my Korea. Two favorites. That's what I put on my list. Did anybody else have another one they liked
I liked
more?
Supreme Center of Malted Communication and Beverage Drink.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I liked that one, too.
And Double Wide Sad Job Studio, because I really was hoping for these kind of, like, mistranslated, you know, confusing things. I like that. Know, that shit's funny to
double
me.
Wide I liked all, I liked all the
other ones. Sad Job Studio. Bobby! That's
Double Wide Sad Job Studio. Well done. You've won our Twitter game.
I think JP should be the ultimate final say-so.
Agreed. I think you're right.
Because it's just a pick.
How about you just pick the one you like and then...
So when they figure him out, they'll figure out how to win it, this game.
It is a lot like Cards Against Humanity, where the person who has the black card decides the winner.
Yeah, get it.
Well, you should.
All right, I'm down with that.
Meeting. Sad Job Studio.
Why not?
For sure.
You're so sad job.
And then we do need a placard made for your studio.
You're so sad.
Just, it's got to go right on the door.
Double
sad job
sad
studio.
Job studio.
All right. Just a reminder not to forget about the great deals you can get over at Adam and Eve. That's right. You can go to adamandeve.com right now and get a deal by using coupon code BNARMY. You're going to get 50% off any one item, 3 free adult DVDs, a free exclusive gift, and to top it off, you're going to get the free shipping on the new order, plus an exclusive gift that we've talked about before.
We talked about it.
It does magic things to your magic places. Go to adamandeve.com right now and use coupon code BNARMY. That's BNARMY at checkout, and you're going to get all the deals and all the things and a bunch of free stuff. And I don't see why you wouldn't do it, because otherwise you have to go to the creepy adult store down the street from your house.
And the only free thing you get is someone else's DNA on your hands.
Correct.
When you touch the doorknobs.
So go do it at adamandeve.com instead, and everybody happy.
Long time.
Long time happy.
All right. Next week on the program, we've got Ale Apothecary on the show, which should be fun.
Very popular Oregon brewery. Another Oregon brewery.
Oh, yeah.
I heard a lot of good things about Ale Apothecary, Paul up there, but I've never had their beers, never seen their beers, really.
Okay.
Talking to Dave at Flat Tail, and he turned me on to them. And Paul seems like a very nice guy, very knowledgeable dude.
Well, if he can put up with Dave at Flat Tail, he's probably a nice guy.
Yeah, for sure.
Very tolerant.
Yeah. All right, so we got that going on next week. I'm off for several weeks after that.
Yeah,
have a good journey.
JP's going to take the helm. Thank you.
Sounds like a great itinerary.
I've got some good stuff going on. I'm excited to see the Stone Berlin opening.
Nice. Represent, bro.
I'm going to represent. That's the one piece of work I'm doing. Yeah. That's why I'm mentioning it. Everything else,
going there?
I'm just fucking around.
Work.
You're going to be in the realm anyway, so you might as well swing by.
How long of a blog are you going to write about it?
You're going to be in Paris?
Your work,
be in Paris?
Your
blog.
Work session.
I'm going to send you like one photo and a couple of words.
And I'll be like, this should go to Kim. What the fuck? What do I care?
Well, they didn't invite me as media, so I don't feel any responsibility.
That's the way I feel. They don't pay. I'm going to go.
Yeah,
right.
I was going to hang out.
Right off?
Oh, yeah. The whole thing is right off. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest.
Oh, you're working, right?
Oh, yeah.
Work.
Well, I have to stop in. All right, there's that. Yeah. So that's work. Oh, I have to stop in at the place that stole the Hop Grenade logo in Munich.
Are you going to confront them?
I haven't decided. I think
I'm going to dress head to toe in Hop Grenade.
I think I'm going to dress in all Hop Grenade
everything,
gear and
hat,
just go sit
shirt.
There and have a beer and stare at them in a creepy way.
And then,
like,
and
just, like, you know, like I'm like sagging in my.
They go like, "What's with your logo there, bro?"
And just wait
your
and
bro.
See, and just
yeah.
like really stare at them.
Can we? How about this? Here's a new shirt design.
Beat down.
It's the American flag, but instead of the stars,
yeah,
it's 50 Hop Grenades.
Oh my God, I should wear that in there because it's
as
a douchey. It's like a douchier way to go. Like,
how about this?
Like,
we make you a whole bunch of Hop Grenade buttons.
Yeah.
And you just start giving them out just
their,
to everybody.
In their place.
Uh-huh. Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
In their place.
So, I haven't decided how I'm going to address
hire
it.
Hire some talent to come in with you.
Oh, I mean, got like talent. Talent. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Oh, like a Hooters?
You have, like, you know, outfits for them.
They're yeah. Well, local. Daniela's going to go with me. She's okay, talent.
Okay, then it is Hooters. Already.
Well, the, oh, I see. This is
those are Hooters.
Like a, this is like a do-over trip.
No.
Tasty,
I'm going with Kate the Great.
Oh, sorry.
But here's, you want to know how weird it is? But we're staying with Daniela and her husband.
Yeah, well, that's how you
see,
roll.
See, this is, I don't care. Yeah. But what I'm saying is Daniela looks sure. hot all the time. Like, so, and Kate's not, she's got
I
the
love
boobs.
Her.
So there's a couple of pieces of talent right there.
And I'm sure these women are so happy with the descriptions you're giving them.
They're both listening going,
they're
both spooning right now.
Yeah. So I'm going to bring us all in covered in hop grenades.
You're a very complimentary person.
And the, yeah,
so
I
you're
know.
Just going to be in Germany? Are you going to go to France and visit our buddy there?
Yeah, I'm going to see Yann also. I fly in and out of France.
Nice.
Are you going to go to Chechnya?
You can't fly. Ox not available.
Ox busy plowing only field.
One world in, one world out. Ox not available.
Too many cattle on the runway.
One ox.
Yeah.
Three-legged ox, not fast.
I am going to go see Outland Brewery in Paris because it's now open and he's brewing.
Yes, he's
and
actually
I've
got
been
his dream.
Listening to him talk about this for fucking years, and it's finally it's open.
And Williams and they're both there, right? Yes.
Matthew. Both.
Matthew, I mean.
Yes. Yeah, Matthew. Well, Matthew probably doesn't show up very often because he's lazier than I am.
Matthew.
But Yann is there. Yeah, Matthew. But Yann is there. And the new Outland
they have another
tap
outlet.
House
yes.
is under construction. So I don't think it'll be open when I'm there, but I'm going to go stop in on it. But so you have the Outland Brewery that's now open, and then the Outland Tap House, which will serve all Outland beer plus other beers cool. as well.
Nice.
So Yann's moving up in the world.
That's
right?
Excellent. Excellent.
Which is good because he quit his job and he did and he's got a baby.
He's lucrative teaching job.
And it's finally working. Yeah.
Could you laugh like him?
I can't.
Come on,
I don't even know how to do that impersonation. That's
it's great.
Yeah, when Yann really laughs. But just to, you know, just so you know, like a lot of people here go out on a limb to be an entrepreneur, right? And it's hard for everybody. Just let me give you just an example of his. So he was a teacher. Did fine as a teacher, especially when in terms of vacation, but decided to go the brewery route and worked on it for years, and then. Finally quit his teaching job. And here's what you're allowed to do in France. You can quit when you have a job like that. It's a government job, basically, and the way they structure the education. So he essentially had to get the equivalent of a master's degree to do that job. Okay? So just think about all that education. Mm-hmm. He's allowed to leave the job for a year. And if he doesn't come back, he would have to go through the entire education system again.
Oh,
he would have to re-get his master's to go back to being a teacher.
So it's not a degree. It's more of a license.
It's, exactly. Ugh. And so that's what I'm saying about the risk that he took. So, he said, I'm going to leave and start this brewery. And if he didn't make it happen within a year and go back to teaching, he would have to go through the whole college process again.
But think about how good his grades would be.
One more reason
time.
To say, fuck you, Frenchies.
I know.
What
but
about
just,
those co-eds, though?
Think
really?
About that.
Oh
yeah, he goes back now. He's like, well, this ain't so bad. but... Right? Because also he has no other marketable skills or education.
Right, he could be a translator.
So if the brewery fails, what's he going to do?
I don't know. Be an artist.
Say fuck you, Frenchies.
So I'm just pointing out what a
talking
risk.
About putting it out there on
he'll
the chopping block.
He will be on your couch.
Right, because here you can bail and then it doesn't work out. You
whatever.
Go back to your job.
Well, here you still have,
you keep your day
a degree.
Job.
You've earned your degree. That's something you have earned.
His
you
basically
paid money
disappears.
For. Yeah, that's terrible.
Wow. Isn't that messed up?
That's terrible.
That is screwed up.
But you know what? He's doing great.
USA
and,
one.
He's
France
making
nothing.
Some of the best beer, if not the best beer in France.
How do you
nice.
Know?
I've tasted it.
Have you?
Yes.
When?
November.
Okay.
Last November.
Fair enough.
Okay.
It's
you
awesome.
You
probably had the
awesome French beer.
The tasty.
I had the tasty, which is,
I've had the tasty.
In my opinion, the
Jesus
best beer in
Christ.
France.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh wow!
It has a little
backhanded.
Has a little my logo on there. You see the new label?
No,
the new label's got my whole freaking
what
little character guy on it.
Really?
And the whole beer recipe,
dude. That's cool.
It's crazy.
French love that shit.
Yeah, no, it's like do. Weird.
All right, well, I'll stop.
I them full French are weird.
Look, now they're brewing it themselves at their own brewery.
Yes, their own brewery.
So I'll check it out for you.
Yeah, let me just to hear about it.
I'll let you know
if
what's
you could
happening.
Just get one bottle back here and we could try it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Or two. I can do
that. How about two?
I'm flying in and out, so I can. I got you.
Yeah,
you
do that.
Do the old in and out.
Be fun to have it on the show.
Hey, are you going to go to Augustiner? You going to go to, because I need some of that Hellas, bro.
I can get that without going there.
I need some.
You got it.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Guys, we'll, some?
And maybe some Westy 6, maybe like Green Cap, Green Label.
I'm not going to Belgium.
Request.
Fuck.
I'm not going to Belgium.
Do my whole trip for me so I don't have to do it.
I'm going to Prague. Is there anything you want from Prague?
I don't know.
Pilsen. I'm yeah, going to Pilsen.
Yeah,
I'm going
to Pilsen.
Just stuff. Just things.
All right, I'll get you guys some stuff.
I like some good beers.
All right, Augustiner.
That'd be cool, because remember when you went that did that big-ass Belgian trip, and you brought back a bunch of beer?
Yeah.
And we had, like, a whole segment on it. I thought that was really fun. That was a cool tasting experiment.
All right, I can do that. Okay. I'm going to Cologne, so I'm hoping to get some good
Cologne.
Get some good Cologne.
Please.
I like Dracar Noir.
Cologne. Cologne.
Oh. Please. Cologne.
Sorry. Cologne. Oh,
hey. Cologne.
I had my Cologne looked at the other week. It was pretty fun.
All right,
I'm going to forget... Forgo my whole fucking t-shirt from wherever you go.
Okay.
Could you give me some beer?
You just want beer, like Augustiner.
Yeah. Yes.
I've smelled you. You need some more cologne.
All right.
All right. I'll take care of you guys. But don't worry.
Baby.
I'm still here for another week. So I know you guys are feeling like you're going to miss me already, but...
I'm out next week.
I'll be back.
I can't handle it anymore.
Okay. That's fine.
Just can't.
I can't do it. All right. I'll be here next week holding down the fort.
All right.
Hopefully Beardy will show up to...
Man.
I went to his spot yesterday.
Oh, at the brewery?
Loma.
Right here?
Loma.
Right next to me?
Yeah. And I had some. He had four beers on. They were pretty good.
Pretty good? What do you mean?
They were pretty good.
Excellent, you mean?
No, they were pretty good.
Okay.
They were pretty good. We had a dry Irish stout. That was the best.
Okay.
His pale ale was 6%. And, you know, they were his first beers on his new system, and he was like, and so we were talking about like what we should, yeah,
sure.
what he should work on and whatever. So I thought they were pretty good. Man.
Excellent.
It's a cool spot. It's definitely really cool. I
his
think it's opening
are looking
in a couple
for
weeks.
Pretty good. I think it'll be a great story.
It's a rad location.
It is
good. Yeah. Beer you can dance to.
Yeah, the beers are great.
What's the beer focus there? Is it more like food, or is it the beer's got to?
I think it's
pretty well
both. What it sounds like what the chefs are doing is incorporating a lot of the beers in different steps, different stages of the beers, like wort and even some hops.
Oh, they're really integrating
into
the menu
into the food.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
oh,
so
wow.
they want to do some marinating with some wort. They want to take some dry hops and make tinctures and put those in the cocktails and do all sorts of shit like that and kind of pair those with.
It
the
sounds like
that he's
they're
brewing.
Like Paxson followers.
Definitely. Yeah. And they're kind of like all about it.
That's excellent.
Yeah, they're pretty jazzed about it over there. So.
Cool.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Right.
That's a unique
format. I was like, how long do you think that's going to last, man, until they're just using DME and, you know, fucking hop extract?
Yeah. You find them back there pouring Miller Lite into a fucking pasta.
Yeah, I love it.
No.
Or the glaze.
They'll do fine,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Cool.
All right, let's get out of here.
Yes.
Next week, Ale Apothecary. Thanks to Pelican Brewing Company for being in the studio and talking with us today. Thanks to Tom McCormick from the California Craft Brewers Association as well.
Sure.
JP, get us out of here, will you?
Time.
Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. Darren and Ryan from Pelican Bay Brewing came on the show to show us what is happening up on the Oregon coast. Check them out at pelicanbrewing.com. Merge your love of Disneyland with your lack of engaging podcasts and go to earsuppodcast.com as JP, Terrence, Bevo, and Taryn talk about all things Disney. Go to check out Moscow's Hop Cartoons over at hoplifestore.com. Get on Twitter for some good beer insight and homebrew info. Follow Nate Smith at Nathan Homebrew, Mike McDowell at Tasty McD, JP at Major Jip, and Warren is adding to the noise over at Another Beardy. Tasty will be speaking at the St. Louis Hops Homebrew Club meeting being held at Perennial Ales in St. Louis on September 13th at 7 p.m. sharp. Today's show is produced by Beverly, and your host has been Justin Crossley. Be sure to find the Brewing Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
JP's an asshole. Justin's a nice guy and winning.